If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Is that guy sleeping right there?
Well, I think he's just taking a little nap.
We'll take another break. When we come back, poor Pluto, it's been banned from the planet world.
No!
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going to the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God. You can escape the heat too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse. Where I'm going, I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody, tell them to grab their Bible. Have a dealing with it.
Are there other black nerds, or is it just you and Urkel?
Black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance. And if you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana's bad. Okay.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be a problem.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll another one.
Marijuana is delicious.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be a
It's the best, man. I got it from a Negro.
Just passing around. Well, don't bother to join my friend.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
I just pass it on down.
And now. We hope that school kids aren't too bitterly disappointed. We hope that the public, which learned that Pluto was a planet, is willing to unlearn it.
You don't have to be a dick.
Our feature presentation.
But moving forward, this bill will also help meet the needs of a growing economy. When the economy grows, people are looking for workers. It's economics one.
Yes, it is. It's economics one.
Not 101.
Nope, not 101.
Oh, not economics one.
I took that in economics one. He's right. Oh, wait, there's no economics
it's
one.
It's like kindergarten economics one.
Yeah, I don't think maybe that's what it's called.
That's my favorite thing is when President Bush talks to other people and tries to explain things a little slower so they can get it. You know, that
the
whole
slow, stupid people.
Yeah, that whole kind of he's the only one who understands. And so he's got to slow it down and. Really explain
really
it.
Lay it out for
it's
us.
Economics one, people.
Sure.
You need to know that.
Exactly.
Morning, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34, and it is Friday the 15th of Poon.
Hello, Poon.
We won't be playing Don't Bogart at the end of today's show.
Well, we will kind of.
We'll be listening to it. We'll be sitting back and enjoying the actual performer, Robert Bradley, of Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, perform it live in our studios here this morning. So if you're a fan of that, if that song makes you think Friday, a very special rendition is going to be happening later today right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How did you find that? How did we start playing that on Fridays?
I was trying to imagine. I was trying to remember yesterday how long it's been.
Yeah.
It has been many, many years, right, since we've been doing it.
Like 7, 8, 9, hasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember before we started doing it. I don't know how we got started on it. I mean, I think it was, you know, it's a song I knew. You know, it's been around for decades. It's a song I knew, and somehow I don't remember how it got started, but it's a great tradition.
Thank God for some of your eccentricities.
He comes up with the wackiest, strangest stuff.
And every once in a while, something like this. Now it just doesn't seem right if we don't play it on Friday.
No.
And if you hear 1 second of it before Friday, you go, oh!
stop it.
I know. It totally makes it the weekend, doesn't it?
What a burn.
You actually start to drool. It's sad.
It throws you off, and you're like, you think you're on the weekend. You got to go back to work.
And the and when we're gone, I think, during the best of Kevin and Bean, when we're on vacation, and I guess they don't play it, boy, the people get ticked off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because yeah, it's just not the weekend for them anymore. Sure. So anyway, that's going to be – I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know almost anything about that guy. I don't know – is he blues? He's a blues singer?
He is. Yeah, he was a street singer. You remember Ted Hawkins? He's very similar to Ted Hawkins, who was a very, very famous Santa Monica homeless guy who ended up getting a record contract and being pretty successful and going out on the road and everything and made some albums and the whole deal. He unfortunately passed away real young. But this guy is like him. He was just he's a blind blues singer in the streets of Detroit, and there was this other band that kind of came across him and liked him and gigged with him, and he ended up becoming their lead singer. And now they've got, I don't know, five or six albums out.
Wait a minute. Stephen Hawking was from Santa Monica, did you say? No,
Ted Hawkins was the dude's name.
Oh, all right.
But, this guy's, one of those, he's kind of under the bubble. Not everybody knows his name, but he's got a real strong following. I mean, he tours and does real well. You know, people, like Superwhore loves him, for instance.
And he's blind, right?
Yeah. And he can't see.
He's a blind singer. That's stunning to me. Anybody, I don't know. That
does anything that's blind?
Yeah.
It's not just home?
Instead of just sitting at home, just
listening to TV.
Crying for themselves.
Yes.
Get out. They go do gigs. I mean, you have to really trust the people around you, because I would play endless jokes on him or anyone that I was with.
Well, I don't know his particular situation, if he's a guy like Stevie Wonder who's been blind since birth, or if he's a guy like Ray Charles who lost his sight as a kid and, you know, has some reference points to what things look like. I don't know what this guy's deal is, but you're right, it would be real tough. But if you're born blind, it's all you've ever known. You don't really have another way of thinking. You don't really know what you're missing.
But you've never seen a woman then.
Oh, but you feel her up real good. Come on.
And you got the excuse to do so, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I can't see you, baby. I gotta feel you to see what you look like.
Let me see what you look like.
Imagine how awesome it would be to be like the costume and stylist guy for a blind person.
Stevie Wonder ought to fire his, I'll tell you that. That guy wears the worst outfits ever.
Exactly. And you know the guy's probably just playing a joke.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me see what I could get this guy to wear now.
He has to have an amazing amount of trust in the people around him, and I would so play jokes on him.
Misguided trust, I'm sure, yes.
All right, here for the gig. Go ahead and start singing. He's in like a Burger King. He hears people. He doesn't know. But anyway, Robert Bradley is going to be here, and he's going to sing that song, Don't Bogart That Joint.
That's
going to be fun.
Such a part of our lives. That's coming up this morning. Also, the lead singer of Pennywise has written a book. He's written a book, and it's a really good book.
Really?
About having three little girls and what it's like to be, you know, in a punk band and then to go to school and hang out with the other parents.
It's got to be weird.
All of whom have office jobs and kind of hang out together.
Yeah.
And it's funny, at one part of the book, he's describing what that's like. And if the parents ask him what he does, he says he's a musician. And then they follow up and they say, have you made any CDs? And he says, yeah, I'm in a band called Pennywise. Now, he says if they don't recognize the band name instantly, Pennywise, they know what it is. Then they figure that, you know, he's old enough that if they haven't heard about the band by now, he's a total failure.
He's like some sad, struggling musician.
Yeah, so he must be like in a garage someplace, smoking pot all day and having his wife support him.
That's funny.
If they don't recognize it immediately, they just look down on him like, oh, okay, musician, maybe you should move on from that.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. So that's the new book is called Punk Rock Dad, and we're going to talk to him coming up this morning. We have Seth Green on the program today.
Great.
Always love having Seth in.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Saw some of those clips from that Star Wars Robot Chicken special that aired Sunday night. It's very funny.
An entire episode. Robot Chicken, by the way, for those of you that don't watch, it changes topics about every 14 seconds.
Totally ADD.
But not this one. Apparently this is all, I mean, it may change that much, but it's all the theme of Star Wars, and George Lucas was involved with this.
Wow.
So we wanted to get Seth in so he could tell us about that. Yeah, that is very impressive. Very cool. This morning we also have Chester from Linkin Park. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Project Revolution tour. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And we, of course, are doing our grand prize drawing today for K-Rock's Road Trip USA Stop Number 2, which is Project Revolution in Virginia Beach. That sounds like a great show. Linkin Park and My Chemical Romance and Taking Back Sunday and Seosin. And it looks great. Him.
And Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach.
Sounds fun.
Which I know zero about. Not a thing. Don't think I've ever been. Don't think
it's good beach.
Is it?
It's nice.
Party. It's major party town.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. It's no joke.
But yeah, there are a few beaches on the East Coast that kind of have that reputation. Myrtle Beach is another one that a lot of the kids go to. Virginia Beach is one. Ocean City, Maryland, of course. There's Rehoboth up in Delaware. I mean, there's a bunch of them that are pretty famous and pretty popular. And this is a good one.
The weird thing about those beaches is that they're super party towns right on the coast, but surrounded by very, very strict kind of old school southern
excellent
towns. You know, it's really weird. It's like this oasis amidst the desert of futility.
So they're calling the cops like every 15 minutes on these people.
Sure.
I love that. And people who got a ticket or got pulled over, got caught having sex while driving.
Oops.
Now, the car has to be moving for this particular for you
for
to
this call.
Call
in. Yeah. Okay.
Because we have a story from Seattle where a guy got pulled over, and a guy and a girl, and they were both completely naked. Now, when the cop got up to them, they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting in the seats.
But come on, they were completely naked.
Oh, I know. And
that's a commitment, by the way, if you even take your shoes and socks off. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a couple that's going for it.
Yeah. And also, it's called, by the way, the ticket is called Embracing While Driving.
That's lame.
Sounds really lame. So we're going to talk to people that have experienced that in the 6 o'clock hour as well. And more chances for you. Do we have another chance for them?
One more.
Yes, we do. We have one more shot for you to qualify for K-Rock's Road Trip USA Stop Number 2 Project Revolution. So that's coming up between now and 7:15. You can qualify. And then, which has happened 2 or 3 times in the past, the person could actually win the drawing.
Yes. Which does happen often.
That's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
So one final chance to win your tickets for Project Revolution before they go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock and be qualified for the grand prize drawing. We do it around 7:20 or so for K-Rock Road Trip USA Stop Number 2, which is that show, again, in Virginia Beach. So between 6 and 7, your chance to win coming up. It's Ralph Garman's final day of vacation, final day of work he misses. He'll be back on Monday with the Showbiz Beat. In the meantime, we are filling in. Of course, it is Father's Day this weekend, and every year there's a survey coming from someone about the most popular TV dads of all time. Or maybe, I guess in this case, it's the best TV dads of all time. Of all the fathers who have been shown on television shows, which ones do you think are the best dads?
I only have one answer for that. Well, actually, I have two answers for that. And if they're not on the list, it's bogus that I'm out.
It's bogus list, okay.
Who do you got?
Homer Simpson?
Sure.
Homer Simpson is number 3 on the worst TV dads of all time.
Oh, it's a real list.
Yes.
No, I'm saying best. I'm saying it's my best.
I know
best,
you are, but his
worst
list is actually real. So
he's hilarious, but I think in real life, if a guy were to be that kind of father, I think some people would say maybe he's not thinking out the best interest of the children.
And Peter Griffin. Those are my two.
Peter Griffin is number 5 on the worst TV dads of all time.
Come on!
I'll guess.
Bill Cosby.
Well, hold on. Let me finish up with the worst since Kevin's on the right track here. We know who he likes. Peter Griffin, number 5. Al Bundy from Married with Children, number 4 in terms of the worst dads on TV. Homer Simpson, number 3. Number 2, Tony Soprano.
Oh, yeah.
Number 1 worst TV dad of all time, Ozzy Osbourne from the Osbourne TV show. Which is hilarious because he's real. Yeah. That's not a TV character.
Yeah, exactly.
So he can't be pleased with that. All right, Mike, let's see what you got for the best.
Cliff Huxtable from the
Cosby Show. He's way number 1. Yeah, he's considered the all-time best, the guy you'd want as your father if you could.
Mike Brady.
He may be on the list. Unfortunately, we just have top 5. He did not make that cut.
It's gay, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you that the other 4 in the top 5 are all, you know, 60s and 70s.
Oh, okay.
Iconic dads.
I'm out there.
You from the Waltons?
Hey, I'll just give them to you. Number 5 on the list is Sheriff Andy Taylor from The Andy Griffith Show.
Terrible.
Who, by the way, was always great with Opie.
Yes.
Number 4, Pa Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie.
That's what I'm talking about.
Played by Michael Landon. Number 3... Mr. C, Howard Cunningham from TV's Happy Days.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And number 2 is Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver.
Wow, no good dads anymore, huh? Hmm.
Yeah, I guess Cliff Huxtable was the last great dad on television, according to this list, anyway.
What about Mr. Drummond, okay? I know they weren't his birth kids, but he took in those 2 little black kids from the ghetto, and they, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but look how they turned
went from the
out.
Streets into the penthouse, okay?
Fine,
and then back to the streets.
Yeah, look what happened to him in
the end. But you know what I'm
clearly
saying?
There was a problem.
Listen, that might not have been his
something
fault.
It could have been nature, not nurture.
It could have been nature, not nurture.
I'm saying he touched him.
Wow. That went south quickly.
No kidding. Well, Britney Spears is, you know, I love it when she posts on her website. There's nothing greater than when you get to see Britney write. And in this case, she's soliciting help from fans on naming her upcoming album, which, as far as I know, is nowhere near being completed. But she's done a survey where you can vote on what the album title will be. And here are the choices that are offered for her fans that they can pick from. And I think some of them she's trying to be funny. For instance, one of the titles Britney suggests is What If the Joke Is On You? what is that supposed to mean?
What?
What If the Joke Is On You?
What sense does that make?
Potential title of the new Britney Spears album.
Wow.
Down Boy is another one. I don't know what the reference is, but Down Boy.
K-Fed, sex.
Integrity is another.
Integrity. Alrighty.
Clearly won't win. Dignity is another, which curiously, by the way, I think, I didn't look this up, but I think was the name of the last Hillary Duff album. I think that was called Dignity, so I can't imagine they'll use this. Oh My God is like Lindsay Lohan, like Okay Like. Is my favorite of the ones that Britney lists.
Oh, she's going to point the finger at Lindsay Lohan.
I know.
Really?
I know. Yes.
The girl who shaved her head, got tattoos, went nuts. Busted out of rehab.
Yeah. Married a guy for 55 hours. Yeah.
She's pointing the finger away at someone else.
I would
only
be so happy if
yes.
she would name her album, Oh My God, is like Lindsay Lohan, like Okay Like. I would just die. And by the way, yeah, look at the way Britney talks. And where does she have the room to make fun of any other Pop-Tart and how she speaks? Come on.
Can we vote over and over?
I don't think she's actually going to pick one of these titles. I think she's just doing it because she's so damn funny, y'all.
She is. That's true. She's got a very good sense of humor. I don't know if you saw X17 online, Bean, but Britney Spears is apparently talking about returning to the big screen.
Oh, good.
Crossroads 2?
Good source telling us at X17 and looking, Britney's looking forward to follow up on her legendary screen debut in Crossroads.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Dave and I went to see her in Crossroads, by the way, and it's an image that's burned into my mind.
Oh. Wow.
What kind of movie does she want to do, does it say?
No, it doesn't say, just follow up on that, so I imagine it's the same type.
Well, she's going to conquer all avenues of entertainment eventually.
She's
unstoppable.
She is unstoppable, yeah. What did that movie do well?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
Big stiff. And deserved to be, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, she wants to follow up.
Not only was the movie not good, she was the worst thing in it.
Wow, that's not good.
And she's the only reason you went to see it, you know?
Yeah, true.
Well, there's good news, bad news for basketball superstar LeBron James. I don't know if you watched any of the game last night. It was a better game, I think, than the first three in the series, but it still ended the same way with San Antonio up by a point over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Spurs are the NBA champions for the fourth time in 9 years. I mean, they're, that's a franchise right there.
That's impressive. That's why it's amazing that Tim Duncan can make it look boring. I don't know how he does it.
Well, he was very happy last night, but LeBron James had to be disappointed. First time the Cavaliers have been to the finals, I think. I think it was their first appearance, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think so, yeah.
So he lost. He certainly did his part. But yesterday, by coincidence, his girlfriend, Savannah Branson, hard to believe they're not married, gave birth to their second son named Bryce Maximus.
Bryce Maximus? That's strong.
Bryce Maximus. First kid, by the way. Would you rather be Bryce Maximus or would you rather be the first kid, LeBron James Jr.?
I would think Maximus, of course.
It depends on how good I am at basketball.
Yeah, that's a good point. How old is he, you guys?
I don't know that they know at that point.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he go straight out of...
24.
Oh, is he that old?
23, okay. I was going to say. 24? Like yeah. Early 20s.
That's older than I thought, actually.
Well, he came right out of high school, so he's been playing several years.
Yeah. And maybe not old enough to have two kids already,
with someone he's not married to.
Yeah, well, of course. So it's a little bittersweet for him yesterday. I mean, he got a kid. He lost the championship. He'd probably trade that kid for another game.
Probably.
Don't you think?
I don't know if he made that offer or not, but that's highly possible.
I saw Angelina Jolie on the red carpet of that Mighty Heart the other night.
Right.
Yes.
And she couldn't be any hotter. She could stand to gain a few pounds, I think.
I think so, too.
I saw a picture of her back in that dress because you can see all of the tattoos down her back, which is crazy. I didn't realize what all she had.
Right.
But she was just bony.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
Well, I didn't realize it was her back at first. I was like, ew, that's awful.
She is way hot in spite of being skinny. But she could stand to eat a meal or two.
Yeah.
She could. Well, it's interesting because now the speculation begins. Angelina Jolie was asked recently why she's so thin. She says she just stopped breastfeeding and she's having trouble getting her nutrition back on track. That's what she says. It's just a transition, I guess. Her brother, though, her creepy brother that she makes out with, James Hayden. told In Touch magazine that the reason Ange is so skinny is that every time she visits Ethiopia, she feels guilty about eating since the people there don't have any food. So she tends to starve herself and lose tons of weight.
What?
If anyone deserves to continue to eat after seeing the sad scene in Africa, it's Angelina Jolie, who does, let's face it, she makes up for it. She does her part to help, right?
She's done more than, does.
More than anyone except Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she goes to Ethiopia, says she doesn't eat. And one more Angelina note. You saw the dress, Lisa.
Yes.
Guess how much the dress cost that Angelina Jolie wore on the red carpet for her Mighty Heart film?
I didn't see the front of it. I only saw the back, but just $20,000.
Close. $26.
What?
$26?
$26. Bought it from a thrift shop on Melrose.
You're $26. Kidding.
Yeah. And what's hilarious about this is Angelina, who's the biggest female, you know, movie star in the world, has every single name designer you've ever heard of begging her to wear their clothes, sending over dresses that do cost $20,000, saying,
for free,
please,
right?
Wear this at my, for free. Sure. Yeah. She wear anything she wanted. $26, bought it on Melrose at a thrift shop.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was in a thrift shop, picked a little something up.
She feels guilty spending money. All those poor kids in Ethiopia
I'll take
have no
it.
Money.
If she has a bunch of money she doesn't want to spend, I will take it. I'll do that for her.
Isn't that something, though? You don't see that very often, but she's unusual, that's for sure.
I thought Kelly Clarkson was on the fast track to superstardom.
I think she's doing very well.
Well, she's the most successful of all the American Idols so far. I think she sold about 11 million albums.
I don't know what's going on with her new album. There's been a lot of talk about disagreeing with the record company.
Oh, yeah. This was the one that they wanted her to do redo it all, I
guess,
think.
Yeah. She
refused.
Didn't want to or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, she had to cancel a summer tour because of poor sales.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Ooh.
Sir, why do you think it was?
Hey, fatty! You are fat!
Oh, Kevin.
Hey, it wasn't me.
You know, it surprises me. I love that new song that she's got from the forthcoming album. You know, one of the many songs that Clive Davis, her mentor, did not want her to put out. I think it's great. But, she canceled the tour. And I'm wondering if maybe those people that would go see her are instead spending the money to go see the American Idol tour. Maybe that's the problem.
Ah, same group.
You can go see 10 singers from that show rather than just one.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
Oh, that's true.
She's not bad.
What?
She's not bad.
She's
a little fireplace. Could she stand to lose a few pounds? Yes, but she's hardly obese.
She also drops weight when she's on tour. Unfortunately, she's not going to be on tour, apparently, so
she could donate a pound or two to Angelina Jolie. That's all
yes.
I'm saying.
She's so fat that vitamin water had to renegotiate her contract with her because she didn't represent the product well because her body's so repugnant.
Are you serious about the contract?
100%.
So they made a contract with her.
And they're like, restrict payment because they're like, you're supposed to be representing vitamin water, which is supposed to be something that, you know, is conducive to health.
Water.
It's conducive to health, and you're a piggy.
She's not a piggy.
And the thing about it is that she's flat-chested, and you have to be even more thin when you're flat-chested, because when your belly sticks out more than your boobies, you should be put to death.
Mike is furious. He's furious over Kelly Clarkson allowing herself to exist in that state, isn't he?
I don't understand why young Hollywood has eating issues. I just don't understand it.
You are a rude, faultless little pig.
Okay, that's a little strong.
You want to?
This is for all the fat girls.
If she sang those songs the way she sings them, because she has a beautiful voice.
Yes, she does.
And if she sang the exact same songs but looked like Catherine McPhee, it'd be multi-platinum. I'm telling you.
She sings the same regardless. It shouldn't matter that much. And she's not fatty, fat, fat.
No, but she's fatty, fat.
She's chubby.
She's a little power plug.
She's a little chubby. She looks like a typical 25-year-old girl is what she looks like. An average 25-year-old girl. We've been conditioned to expect more of a total package from entertainers, though, I think is what's going on.
Yes.
Here. She would be acceptable.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
Not fair.
Well, anyway, no Kelly tour apparently so
obesity.
Far this summer.
Adiposity. Yes. Corpulence.
Uh-huh.
Whatever word you use, it represents one thing.
What's that?
Being a big fat ass.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I feel a little dirty now.
Come on!
Got some good ones today. Hottie Leah Remini, actress, 37 years old today. How about Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt, who, by the way, talk about someone who takes a lot of time off in between projects. Don't you forget that Helen Hunt even exists?
Yes.
And then she's gone for like 4 years, and she comes out of the movie, then she goes underground for another 4 years. It's weird. But she is 44 years old today. Courtney Cox from TV's Friends and the new Dirt, 43 years old today. Luckiest man in show business, tell me I'm wrong, Jim Belushi, 53.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Belushi, not a talented guy, not a funny guy, had a big brother named John, got him a lot of doors open, and somehow he ended up on a successful sitcom for something like 7 years. I don't know one person who's ever seen it. Yet
not
it was
me.
A big hit.
Yeah, it's nobody in any of our circles, so I don't know who it could be.
Doogie Howser star Neil Patrick Harris, who seemed to me, I feel like he's been famous my whole life, yet he's only 34 years old today.
Yeah, he has been famous.
What's up with that? Russell Hitchcock from the band Air Supply, 58. I only bring him up because I think I made out with him once. Is that the guy that
you
I can't remember what the circumstances were, but I think
we were doing a losers singles party. We had Air Supply there because they were losers.
Yeah.
They sang their songs. We went backstage, Bean kissed one of them on the lips.
What was the circumstance, though? Why did that happen?
Well, I think they were upset at us because we called it a loser's party. We kept saying losers, losers, and they were upset. So then they started backstage. They started accusing us of, you know, not being comfortable with our sexuality, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you kiss me then? And Bean said, all right.
Funny.
Leaned in and kissed one of the guys from Air Supply.
Yeah, that's...
and they kicked him right in the nuts.
I don't know if that's true. And the mother effing Cube, ladies and gentlemen, 38 years old today. So if you see the Cube today, just get out of his way. You don't even want to mess with him. Don't even wish him a happy birthday because you can catch him on the wrong day and he'll whack you. You don't want that. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
I got to tell you, we do a lot of stuff on this show. We throw a lot of stuff against the wall. Not much of it sticks. But we play songs occasionally that get a pretty big response.
Mm-hmm.
And we've played a song recently that got a big response really in both ways. A lot of love. A lot of people want it to be on the Download Rodeo. A lot of people can't wait to hear it. And we can't put it on the Download Rodeo, but we did put it on streaming so that you could listen to it on the Sounds page. But it's called Brow Down. And we got the idea. Psycho Mike got the idea from our intern, Brows,
mm-hmm.
who literally has paintbrushes for eyebrows. And literally.
We've never seen eyebrows.
With the wooden handles and all. It's strange. So he comes in. He's really, really a great guy. He's taken a lot of heat, too. This guy
is from his own community.
From,
yes,
from his own people. He's so cool about. He's got such a great sense of humor. And Mike came up with the idea to do Brow Down instead of Bow Down, and it's a huge hit, and it's stirring up a lot of hate as well.
The Armenian community is not happy.
Thrilled.
Yeah,
and Browse hears from his own people that he's a self-hating Armenian now, and why are you bringing us down, and why are you letting Whitey make fun of us, and on and on and on and on and on. But it's so funny because so many of the other people that we hear from that love it are Armenian.
Yeah,
and think
right.
It's hysterical that we're making, you know, kind of poking fun at the stereotypes of the Armenian people.
And I get this from Mexicans a lot. I get a lot of emails saying that I'm a self-hating Mexican
right.
simply because I kind of have a more open sense of humor to the idea of the Hispanic culture. And, you know, that's Brow's thing. It's not that he hates Armenians. We know that. We've talked to him off the air.
Right.
It's that he has a very good sense of humor and he can look at things outside the box.
Look, here's the thing, and we don't like to have to explain this very often because it really should go without saying, but just because there are people that do things in your particular race or whatever, creed or whatever, it doesn't mean everyone's that way. It just means there are douchebags to be made fun of in every single race.
Right.
Doesn't matter if they're black, white, Hispanic, whatever. Armenian, there are douchebags of every single race, and it's always funny to make fun of them.
Right.
But a lot of what we're talking about with the Armenians, and of course Southern California has one of the largest Armenian populations in the country, is not that they're douchebags, it's just stuff like, you got a lot of beepers. You know, I mean, it's just, a lot of you live in Glendale. I mean, that's not being mean or racist or negative, it's just, that happens to be a fairly accurate truth. That there are a lot of Armenians in Glendale and in Montebello, right?
And there are certain occupations that a lot of Armenians are involved
and
with.
And here's our other favorite thing. Our other favorite thing is we hear a lot of response from people when we say, for example, we make fun of Hispanic people.
Yeah.
Mike's doing a bit or whatever, we make fun of Hispanic. The Armenian people love it. Funny.
Oh,
funny as hell.
That's
wow,
funniest thing I've ever heard, bro.
Yeah, every single time, like, as long as it's anybody else, it's funny as hell. But then when it's about them, they go, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like, what are you talking about?
It would
about?
Be so hypocritical of Mike to be on this show where we make fun of everyone and then to get upset when we make fun of Mexicans.
Of course.
I mean, that would be insane.
Did
somebody order Mexican?
And again, most people have a really great sense of humor. But Mike, you did print out an email that you got.
Well, yeah, what about this dude? The more inflammatory emails I received from a gentleman named Jack Boyajian. And, the title of the email is, You're a Bitch.
Okay.
Spelled but you get a lot of those. I mean, that doesn't really separate.
This one's spelled Y-O-U-R, your. Well, so, Jack, go ahead and hit up that spell check that grammar.
No, spell check won't help you with that, dude. Because yours is a word.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
This is from Jack Boyaj.
All right.
Psycho Mike, you are a bitch, and I will kill you.
Oh, dear God.
And I like that he comes right out of the gate hard. No, not this is not open for debate. I will kill you, is what he says.
All right.
Okay. That Brow Down song is ridiculous. And as an Armenian, I find it very offensive.
Of course.
What makes you think you can make that song and get away with it? You're not even speaking Armenian at the end of the song.
No.
Wait a minute. You're not speaking Armenian?
Nope.
Oh.
And sorry. Thanks a lot, Jack, for pulling the curtain back on that one.
Yeah,
sheesh,
wow.
Thought I was fooling everybody.
What a surprise.
I'm going to stab you in the effing heart.
Listen, you guys laugh, but, and Mike, you don't watch The Shield, but I'm telling you, Armenian gangs, they will cut your feet off. And Kevin, you know this to be true.
Oh, yeah, I watched that show.
You need to be careful.
Although, Lisa, I don't really base my real life feelings on The Shield.
I think it's based on reality.
I will say, to take a tangent from the levity for a second, I will say this, and this is not a stereotype. Armenian people, possibly some of the most proud and unified people in the world. They stick together. You mess with one Armenian, you're messing with the whole lot.
And they don't just kill you, they kill your family,
That's
too,
right.
by the way.
That's The Shield, Lisa.
But I'm also
sure
going to say
it from truth.
To back up Lisa, her friend Stumpy, by the way, would disagree with you saying The Shield is not something that ought to be taken seriously. I mean, look what happened to that poor dude.
That's true.
That's right. Okay. I am going to stab you in the effing heart.
Okay.
I am not from Glendale. I'm from Montebello, which also has a high Armenian population. So tell your stupid intern that he is not fooling anybody.
He's not trying to fool anybody. What is he doing that's trying to fool people?
What does that even mean?
Just because he's a self-hating Armenian does not mean that we all are. You better watch your back, bitch.
Wow.
Jack Boyajian.
Watch your back. Look at that. Stab you in the heart. Not enough to stab you in the stomach or the back. He's got to go right for the heart.
No, he doesn't want me to bleed out. Doesn't want to be slow. Boom.
Wow.
Dead.
Now, Mike, you should appreciate Mr. Abishim Mahendam because he has the same policy you do, which is to settle arguments with violence.
That's
true. I mean,
he
is all about domination, which you should respect.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I do respect. Thank you, Jack, for taking the time to write that email. I like your tactics, but frankly, I'm a little hurt that you were so off put by my song. I worked really hard on it, and I think it's a good piece of work.
We're at a crossroads here. Do we take the left path, which is to apologize and never play it again,
or do you take the high road and play it now?
Okay, bro. How about I unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Smoke cigarette. Tell you where I'm coming from, Glendale.
Brown.
Glendale's my town. I love System of a Down.
Brow down.
Because I'm Armenian, bro. Covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe. Dracar cologne ingrained in my chromosome. Come to my shop, I give you pager and a cell phone. Jewelry on my arm from the knuckle up. Hop in my BMW and then I buckle up. Cruising through Glendale, smoking cigarettes. Looking for my homeboys, bitch, or even better yet, a nice Armenian girl I can flirt with. Covered in fur, even when the bitch is shirtless. Check my breath, it smells something awful. I should have brushed my teeth after I had that falafel.
Hummus, kebab, shawarma, tabbouleh.
I have to shave my unibrow, it's getting unruly. And shave my back hair to keep it in check. My penis is so hairy that it has a pubic turtleneck. So brow down, Armenian pride. I slick back my hair as I cruise to the west side. Glendale Galleria, Armani Exchange. Gonna get a silk shirt within my price range. Marlboro cigarettes and cologne. Gonna go back to my shop and then I'll slang more cell phones. That's right, bro. You know what it's like. Life of Armenian player, huh? Hit that chorus one more time.
Brown.
So okay, what could this about that?
Brown.
Me say never, never, bro.
Brown.
Me say I walk never this show. But I never do. Never carry this the boss.
Stuck on that. Fuck yeah.
Monday, when we have Manny Gamburian on the show from Ultimate Fighter 5, maybe then we'll see how Mike's opinion changed about how funny Brow Down is.
Well, we'll play it
interesting,
more,
interesting to hear him explain it to Manny to see if he still is going to support it the way he has been so far.
Holy. I think we'll play it for him. I think he'll appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, terrific actor John Cusack is going to be on the show on Monday. And also, we'll catch up with our pal Harvey Levin, in addition to announcing Road Trip Stop number 3 at about 7:15 Monday morning on the Kevin DeMean Show.
I don't know if you've ever heard this, but getting a ticket for embracing while driving.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. But apparently it happens. There was a state trooper, and it was 1:20 a.m. on a Friday morning, and he noticed that a sport utility vehicle was drifting between lanes, but more importantly, that it was speeding up really fast, and then it would slow down and speed up real fast. It would drift between lanes. So he pulls him over, and there's a 19-year-old dude naked, and there's a 20-year-old chick naked in the seat next to him. And apparently they were just sitting there naked when he pulled him over, and he said, "Let me see your license." And the guy had to, of course, find his wallet.
Yeah.
And then the girl started putting on her shirt and hiding the alcohol container.
Oh.
Which
just gets better.
19 and 20?
Yes.
Yeah.
Open alcohol in the car? Okay. And naked? All right. So far, so good. I like it. I like where you're going with it.
So the trooper told the driver to dress. The man submitted to a field sobriety test and was arrested for DUI. And, quote, embracing while driving. The passenger, also from Seattle, was cited being a minor in possession of alcohol.
Sure.
All right.
So, basically, they found out that she was...
she was taking a nap. She was just resting her head in his lap. That's all she was doing.
While they were naked. That's true.
Lisa, you know what it's like when you're on a long trip sometimes. Well, you just get tired. You just have to lay down.
I never get pulled over for it, though. Well, I might hit a light pole or something, but I don't get pulled over.
See, that's the key, and that's who we're going to be looking for, is if you've ever been caught having sex while driving somehow. It has to involve you being caught, maybe even by just other people, but especially by the cops, because that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, clearly something's going on if you're both naked in the car.
Of course.
You're not just driving to the 7-Eleven.
But I like how the state trooper didn't want to be too gross.
Graphic.
So he told them, quote, "You're not supposed to be hugging or kissing while driving."
Yeah. Any parts of the body.
I imagine both of them said, "We weren't." No big deal. We're good.
Yeah, there was no hugging or kissing going on. I think because I saw this state trooper being interviewed, and they said, "Embracing while driving? Really?
Yeah,
that's what it's called?" And he said they were looking for something, I guess, when the statute was written, that was all-encompassing. That way you don't have to specifically name hugging, kissing, rubbing, licking, whatever else would come to mind. Embracing is supposed to cover it all.
I'm guessing he didn't know exactly what they were doing either.
Well, he said that she was sleeping in his lap.
Oh, but, so he did know that much.
Yes, but okay. I'd like to suggest that if they're both completely naked, you don't really have to...
No. You don't need to know.
Right.
Something's going on.
I'm saying you don't have to take off all your clothes for that to happen.
Well, that's true, too.
That's what I'm saying. So if that's all he got them doing, they're probably lucky because they were obviously doing something else as well.
Maybe they were on their way to other things.
Or planning on it. Yeah. This 20-year-old girl did face the media, and she told them,
"I like meat."
Oh, okay.
That's how that went.
Now, I guess they would have been charged with the same thing even had they been fully clothed, because there's no charges in this story related to them being naked. It's to the DUI and probably the bad driving and probably the embracing while driving. It's nothing to do with being naked, though.
Embracing while driving. That's awesome. So 1-800-520-1067. We have taken phone calls a lot on people who have sex in the car. Because what are you supposed to do?
In a moving vehicle, even.
Right.
Right.
But people who got caught, that's funny. 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your calls.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay, good.
Here we go again.
Well, we just have to get that out of the way so people know.
Embracing while driving is what the charge was.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
For a young Washington State couple, he's 19, she's 20. There was also some drinking going on, apparently, and I guess this was the clue for the state trooper. Apparently, the car was speeding way up and then slowing way down, and then speeding way up and then slowing way down.
The following program contains dialogue of a sexual nature. If you have kids or you are offended when other people use the words blow or ass whore, proceed with caution.
Okay.
And it's kind of funny because the poor girl's just tired, just trying to take a nap in the dude's lap.
Right.
But somehow he keeps jamming his leg up against the gas and then taking his leg back and then jamming it up against the gas and taking it back.
He must have like just some kind of problem with his leg.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your stories of having sex in the car, but it has to be moving. We got no time for parkers, all right? We need movers. We need drivers is what we need.
This is a specialty category.
Marco, Northridge, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi there.
What's up, Marco?
So you got caught? You got caught? Yeah. What happened?
All right. So it was my girl's 18th birthday. So in celebration, we went to the beach, had some drinks, went back home. On our way home, we decided to have some, well.
Right. We got it.
And a car comes up behind me, and I was wondering what it was. Cop pulls up next to me with the deer lights. Tells my girl to get off me and to pull over. We pull over. I get the sobriety test. It's, of course, a DUI because I was swerving more than usual.
More than usual?
More than usual. He swerves when he's not drunk. Go ahead.
So they take me in for a DUI, and it gets funny at the station because when I have to use the restroom, I realize I'm still wearing the protection.
Still has the condom on.
Oh, my God.
Did you have somebody in jail finish it off?
Man, I would have, but.
Marco.
All right. Thank you, Marco, for the call.
Oh, wow. Kind of like Marco got a woman, by the way. How surprising is that?
Yeah, that is. That's a good point. Let's go to David, who is calling from Orange. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi, David.
Careful how you explain this, please, but go ahead.
Okay. Coming home from San Diego, I got a little girlfriend. Her name is Summer the Road Hummer.
All right, I think we understand.
She's a smoking hot little 5'2" blonde I picked up in an AA meeting.
Nice. And,
one trip coming back from San Diego, my toes were curling on the gas pedal, and I was doing 90 when I got pulled over.
Wow.
Obviously knew what we were doing, told us to dress and proceed as I signed the ticket.
Right.
But coming home from the river... one summer afternoon.
You have more than one story?
Oh, yeah.
You've been caught twice having sex and while driving?
Got caught twice. This time, I'm pulling my boat home from the river. We're doing the same thing. I've got every truck driver between here and Needles trying to keep up with us.
Of course.
You know, I got 10 trucks doing 90 miles an hour.
Well, you got your own little blockade.
He's freaking towing a boat. What could be safer than that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my God.
Guys don't care.
David.
Turns out a friend of mine dated her later, and he smashed his BMW.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. So she was the cause of a lot of trouble.
She's a giver. All right, David. Excellent stories. Thank you so much for the calls. Let's go to Timothy out in Hemet. I'm always hesitant to head out to the 909 for phone calls because they always go horribly wrong, but we'll give it a try. Hey, Tim, you're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. What happened?
Well, I'm not in the 909 anymore. I'm the 951.
That's so different. Now, go ahead.
Yeah.
There's
a barrier there, believe me.
Go ahead.
Live out here, you'll see it. Anyway, I didn't get caught, but I'm just about close enough to it. I was driving a truck at the time, just came into Tennessee. Me and the girl that was with me decided, oh, hey, you know, what the heck? We haven't done it in this state yet.
Right, good. You have to. Okay, I got it, yeah.
Okay, and... all of a sudden, I look over, and I got a Tennessee State Trooper rolling up next to me, and I'm thinking, oh, crap, we're caught. Well, let's go ahead and finish up.
But wait a minute.
Finish up?
Oh, yeah.
You finished with the cop next to you?
Well, he's driving. We're going down the roads because I seen him start to slow down, okay, and it looks like he's going to pull in behind me.
Right.
So it's like, all right. So, you know, we're kind of finishing our business, and I'm kind of like taking my time. All of a sudden, I look over again, and I go to her. I go, what's he doing? She goes, I don't know. And I says, it looks like he's playing air guitar in his lap.
Oh, no.
So rather than pulling you over, he's just enjoying the show.
He was pulling himself.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What a story.
What's he doing? She goes, oh, my God. He's got his Peter up in a piece of toilet paper, and he's over there masturbating.
Oh, yeah, I think we got the idea before you started describing
it. Yeah, it could use less detail. So she's on your lap, by the way, while you're driving a big truck?
Yeah.
How could he see up there?
Well, he was...
She's in his lap.
No, but I'm saying he was driving a truck, which is much higher than a cop car. Apparently,
well,
he could...
He's facing me?
She's not... Huh? She's sitting in his lap. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, she's sitting.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. I missed that part.
You can't miss her, I'm guessing.
So the state trooper saw that, decided he liked it, and just kept pace with you.
Well, I found out later on. I drove for a while to that state, you know, a couple other times, and I found out that he liked to do this with just about anybody. They didn't necessarily have to be having sex.
Oh, how about that? Just pull up next to any Nashville hottie and just go for it.
What a freak.
That's awesome.
It's a good thing he's a cop. That's good. That's what you want.
Well, I guess anybody he found attractive on either side of the gender gap. Wow.
Yeah, I think we got it. I think we understand.
That was funny.
Thank you, Timothy, for the call.
Okay, bye.
All right, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday, and we're here to take a look at it. Jessica Alba looking for a one-night stand.
Oh! Yes, please. Yes, please.
Looking for a one-night stand. X17 Online has it. I could have a one-night stand, and I'm the kind of girl who looks over in the morning and is like, do you really have to be here?
She's perfect in every single possible way.
I don't need to cuddle and do all that stuff because I know what it is, and I don't try to make it more. Come on.
Wow.
God bless
Seriously,
her.
Jessica Alba for president.
She's the best. I heart her so much. Speaking of hotties, I don't know if you heard this, Mike, but your girlfriend Kim Kardashian. By the way, did you ever get the sex tape?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And liked it, didn't like it, disappointed, was worth the money? What's the deal?
I was not happy. I do not think it's worth the money. It's very short, and I don't mean Ray J. I mean the tape itself.
Hey.
And they chew gum into the microphone of the camera throughout the whole thing, and it drives me insane. And by the way, with porn being what it is today, you can find pretty much chicks of equal level hotness with a lot better camera angles and digital quality.
Right,
film.
Of course. But there's that little the extra something factor. Of celebrities. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't help.
Yeah. It would be better if it was 28 minutes, not 8 minutes.
Oh, wow. That does seem like a little bit. And by the way, Ray J can't be pleased with it only being 8 minutes either. Anyway, Kim Kardashian is probably famous mostly for just hanging out in the Paris Hilton circle of friends, and the sex tape. But she has joined the cast of the Pussycat Dolls Burlesque show, Mike, which is why I bring it up. Because I know you love her,
fantastic.
And I know that you will want to go see that, because you can see her writhing around in person. By the way, the tide is starting to turn a little bit on Paris Hilton, as I think. The sense I get is now that people are realizing that if she ends up serving the full 23-day sentence, which it looks like she will have been in jail longer than 80% of the people who are convicted of similar circumstances.
Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, under current guidelines, which have been reenacted in the last few years because the prisons in Southern California are so overcrowded, most nonviolent female offenders sentenced to less than 90 days are released immediately. Don't get any jail time like Rosario Dawson, remember, where they just basically processed her, put her in, took her right back out within a couple of hours.
But I bet those people show up for their hearings on time, too.
Well, there is that. And there's also, I think he may have felt the public pressure to not be easy on her. So
yes.
And that she's been, just giving him the finger.
But when Harvey Levin from TMZ told us that, we said, no, you're wrong.
Well, this is apparently true. By the way,
wrong then is what you're saying.
I misspoke before you emailed. I said Rosario Dawson, and I, of course, meant Michelle Rodriguez from Lost, who's the one who was in and out in 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But and one more Paris note, according to TMZ.com, our entertainment service of record, apparently Paris has already got an offer on the table. Two interesting Paris things post-prison. One is she has an offer on the table to play the role of Ginger in a Gilligan's Island play, a musical, in fact, that's going to be on stage in Las Vegas.
Well, that's good because she sure can sing.
Is it Las Vegas High School?
A Gilligan's Island musical in Las Vegas. Barry Williams of the Brady Bunch is going to be doing one of the roles. At this point, can he play anyone but the professor? I mean, at his age, he's got to be pretty much the professor, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they want Paris to play Ginger. The other thing, though, is follow-up to the story Kevin reported yesterday about her big get-out-of-jail celebration in Las Vegas. I heard yesterday, I saw this on Access Hollywood last night, that Paris will be paid for an appearance at this party $800,000.
Wow.
So I don't know what hotel it is, but they're the ones, I guess, who have the billboards all over town publicizing that it's going to be happening. She'll get paid $800,000 to show up at a party that is being thrown to celebrate her release from prison.
I'm not positive, but I think the billboards were for Lindsay Lohan.
They were.
For her 21st.
Oh, okay.
They were.
Okay.
$800,000 just for showing up and drinking?
How about
I'll do that.
I'm speechless.
Forbes put out his 2007 list of the most powerful celebrities. Guess
Oprah,
who's number one?
Oprah.
I'm so fat.
Yeah, it's got to be the O, yeah.
I'm so fat.
Didn't she make $256 million this year so far?
Yeah, last year.
Jesus.
$260 million. Not her total wealth. That's what she made in a year.
Oh, my God.
Right.
I'm so fat.
And this is, again, you said it's powerful. This isn't even a list of richest celebrities, although she certainly would be that as well. But this is powerful. This is people who can get anything done, any project off the ground in Hollywood, right?
Is it money power, though?
Most of the time, money rules. But there is one place that I'll tell you about in just a second where it doesn't.
Okay.
Tiger Woods is second. Tiger Woods only made $100 million.
Jeez.
How's he getting by?
Only $100 million. And by the way, that's not even half of Oprah's.
I'm so fat.
My God.
So, let's see. Number three was Madonna.
Still?
Yes.
Still got that much coming, I guess, from the tour.
Rolling Stones, number four. They made $88
million. Oh. Yeah. But they got to split it between a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. No, that is true.
I'm saying compared to, you know, someone like Madonna who gets the lion's share of you know, every dollar spent. I mean, the Rolling Stones are splitting it up between a band.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are together at number five.
Really?
Johnny Depp is at number six, but Johnny Depp made way more than they did because Johnny Depp, I don't know if you know this or not, but on the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, according to Forbes, he made over $92 million on his back end deal with those movies.
Wow.
Yeah, he took a cut of the proceeds, right? I mean, of the box office.
$92 million. So that's nutty.
And he's only in half of the new movie, right? And he'll still make that kind of get a large chunk of every dollar spent on that going to see that.
But you know, it's just not a movie without him.
Right.
Right, exactly. Right. And but see, here's the thing, where Brad and Angelina were number 5, he was number 6. He made way more money than they did, but he's not really
He's not as powerful.
Yeah, because he doesn't use his power here ever.
Right.
He's just,
that's true.
But that's a lot of money in a year.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of big money, and I know you got a no money story, but listen to this. You know the name Lou Pearlman?
Baseball?
Lou Pearlman is the promoter, the concert
Backstreet
promoter.
Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
And the guy who found and cast the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. So here's a guy, and by the way, in addition to a bunch of the other little baby boy bands, I think he might have been 98 Degrees or, you know, two or three of those, O-Town. I mean, he was involved in a lot of those kind of groups, right? But you all know, and it's hard to remember a day now, you know, when the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC ruled, but these are bands who sold millions and millions and millions of albums. Concert tours, merchandise. I mean, they were the big, you know, some of the biggest bands of the 90s.
They
and he got a piece of all of it.
They broke all of the records.
Yes,
for
they sure
record
did.
Sales, touring. It was crazy. All
it was
the other records up until that point just got blown away.
Wow.
Apparently, he has not been managing his money well, and he has just been arrested yesterday at an Indonesian hotel. He was extradited to the FBI in Guam, where he was charged with bank fraud. Apparently, he has been cooking his books, telling investors he was opening a savings account plan for them, when in reality, he was taking their money that they thought they were investing and using it to cover losses for some of the other projects that he's been involved in, to the tune of more than $300 million he's being charged with frauding.
That's the fraud amount?
Yes, $300 million. Now, this is a guy who at one time probably had $300 million in his checking account, not even including his savings account. You know what I mean?
Easily.
And maybe that's why he was in Indonesia, tried to get away from the long arm of the law. But he has been deported. He has been arrested. I mean, talk about a guy who has had it all and now, you know, could very well end up spending a great number of years in jail as a result of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's...
long way to fall.
It is. But he does kind of deserve it for inflicting NSYNC and Backstreet Boys on the world. I mean, it's hard for me to feel sorry for the dude.
I only have one more story, and that's that Jessica Alba is looking for a one-night stand.
All right. She's not with the Cash Dude?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
All right.
But
it's from Sun Online. Sun, the tabloid in England.
Yeah, the British tabloid.
And let me do one more. Last hour, we did the greatest TV dads of all time in honor of Father's Day this Sunday. Please remember your dad. Here's a list from Life and Style Weekly of the top 10 real-life dads in the world today. And, of course, they're talking about celebrities, right?
Okay.
Who do you think would be on that list of dads who this magazine at least looks at and goes, that's a good dad in real life?
Ozzy Osbourne.
Not in the top 10, I'm sorry to say.
Mm. Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt is number one, Lisa.
Number one.
He's been a dad for like a year.
He's a guy
but he
who spends
his children everywhere. Physically carries them everywhere.
Have you noticed that they don't even believe in strollers?
No.
It seems like they're all on his back.
They're not going to be able to walk.
Poor Angelina. He's bogged down with 17 children walking around.
I know. Well, Brad Pitt is number one on the list. Tobey Maguire, number two. And again, he's one who seems like his kid is very, very young.
I didn't
think
I knew he had a kid.
I didn't either.
Johnny Depp is three, Ben Affleck four, then Will Smith. Then it gets hinky. Larry Burkhead, number six.
Oh,
and I guess that's because of what he went through to get his kid, I guess, for
that's
Anna Nicole.
Pathetic.
It was all about cash.
Patrick Dempsey, David Arquette, Tom Cruise.
No.
Come on. You get the idea. He's never met his kids.
You sure do. You sure do. Wow. And rounding out the top ten, Gavin Rosdale, who pretty much has been a stay-at-home dad since he and Gwen had their their kid. Hadn't been doing all that much.
What about OJ? Yeah, good point.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt turns 44. Friends TV star Courtney Cox, now on the show called Dirt, is 43. Actor Jim Belushi, 53. Jake Busey, by the way, who's also a very funny young actor, 36 years old today. Neil Patrick Harris from Doogie Howser. And what's his show that's on now? Is he on
he's, what about
How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Yeah. He's I don't watch it. It's on CBS. He's 34 today. Julie Haggerty from the Airplane movies, 52.
I know, but we've had Allison Hadigan in our studio 17 times to talk about that show.
37. And the mother effing cube, ladies and gentlemen, Ice Cube, 38 years old today. Brow down. 703, KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. And that's the KROQ Showbiz. Hey, if you've got Chester Bennington in your house, let him get to the phone. if you've got him tied up, go ahead and free him so he can do an interview with the Kevin Beach Show's plan. We're supposed to have him here. We may have him in a moment or by the bottom of the hour. We're still working on it.
I think he's in Venice, Italy, and they're trying to track him down. He said, fine, I'll talk to him, no problem. And now they're going, hey, Chester!
He's in Italy. Yeah. Huh. Hey, I have a quick tip, by the way. I wanted to make sure to mention this today. You know, it's almost impossible to keep up with every week there's a new YouTube sensation. There's a new video that everybody's talking about. Everybody has to see. Here's your tip for the day, and you will thank me for this, although you don't need to. Trust me on this. You'll love it. You go to YouTube and you type in Obama love.
Obama love.
Mike, you might want to try it right now. And you click just click on the first video, and there's this unbelievably hot woman who has a video up about her love for Obama bin Laden. And I think
Obama bin Laden.
I'm sorry. By the way, I'm not the first person in the media to accidentally make that faux pas. That's the trouble with Barack Obama being named Obama. That's the problem with it. Is you think that's the wrong Obama to think of when
he
you do it?
He changed parties quickly.
Well, he is a Muslim.
Wow.
But anyway, this woman has a crush on Obama, and I think that's what her song is called. Is I Got a Crush on Obama? And she's selling T-shirts, and I think that's what her deal is. But when you see how hot she is, you will want her to be the vice president. You will want her to be the first lady. You want her to be, she'd name her Secretary of State. I don't care. Just give her a job in Obama's administration. That's what I have to say to that. So that's your tip of the day is Obama love on YouTube. You'll thank me for it later.
Yeah, she's on the couch talking on the phone. Oh. Hey, close up of the mouth.
What about that? What about that?
Look at that shirt.
Look at her. Holy crap.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you talk about how to get people interested in politics. By the way, and the campaign claims they don't know anything about this, doesn't have anything to do with them. It's just it's a viral thing. And then there's already a debate. Naturally, there are already people who think that it's bad and it's wrong and it shouldn't be going on. And
why?
It's demeaning to women.
Oh.
Because a chick can't be hot and have big boobs without it somehow being demeaning to ugly fat chicks with no boobs. That's why. You know how that works. Nobody would be complaining about this if this was just an average looking woman doing a video. But because she's hot, people pull out the knives against her.
Wow, he looks fat on her chest. This picture of him on the T-shirt.
Well, I'm saying that's a way to improve politics, is have a little bit more of this and a little bit less of, Hillary Clinton in pantsuits. Who's with me?
I'm with you, definitely. Movie Beat's coming up. Seth Green is coming up talking about the fantastic Star Wars project that he has this weekend. And the lead singer of Pennywise, Jim, has written a book called Punk Rock Dad, which is fantastic. I was reading a bunch of it yesterday. It's really fascinating because he's a guy who, let's face it, into the punk scene. How do you raise kids when you're, giving the finger to everybody?
Yeah, it's true.
I actually had a little something happen to me yesterday that was rather troubling. We did our break talking about Tyra Banks. You remember this, where she was talking about how to pee?
Yeah,
unfortunately, yeah.
And Omar did the greatest song ever, which is...
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore.
So I'm at home, and I'm the one that has the twins, and I'm reading something, and I'm all of a sudden my attention is taken away. It's one of my daughters is singing, big fat, big fat.
No.
And I just kind of heard her in the background. I was what are you singing? And she said, nothing.
Oh, no.
Well, because they know that the rules are explicit, which is they're never under any circumstances ever to even accidentally hear 1 second of this show.
So I say, who let you listen? She says, I don't know what you're talking about, following the Kevin
and
Bean plant.
She's so you.
Big, fat. And then she didn't say the word whore, though, because she knew that's a bad word.
Right.
But she was
fine
with
big
and fat.
Although she certainly knows it. Yeah, when you're not around, she's singing the full version.
Yeah. So how do I tell her? It's not funny to make fun of fat people.
Right.
Yeah, that's
Shouldn't
true.
Call people a whore.
Well, I
she
think...
was singing that song about a big, fat whore.
You are father of the year, Kevin.
And by the way, your wife is mother of the year, too, for allowing that somehow to happen.
It wasn't her.
Oh, really?
Nope, it was a friend.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's not good. So anyway, we're going to talk to Jim a little bit later on. Lead singer of Pennywise and raising three daughters himself. And that's a fascinating book. You should pick it up. It's called Punk Rock Dad. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to try and track down Chester from Lincoln Park, and we're going to do the grand prize drawing. Next, it's K-Rock's Road Trip USA stop number 2. The grand prize is Project Revolution in Virginia Beach. Tickets go on sale for that tour, by the way, locally tomorrow at 10, and we'll talk to Chester about that, hopefully, and the winner next. Yeah, we got an APB out for Chester Bennington. Chester Bennington.
We found him, actually. We got him. He's on the phone. It's the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock. Chester on the phone from beautiful Italia. Good morning, Mr. Bennington.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Whatever it is.
It's morning here. It's in the morning here. What is it there in Italy?
It's like 4:30 in the afternoon.
And you were lost doing what when we were supposed to talk to you 15 minutes ago?
I was trapped in one of our mini, band business meetings.
I gotcha. All right.
Ones that never end.
How's the tour going?
Actually, it's going really, really well. It's been awesome. The crowds have been great.
Fantastic.
We had some of your bandmates in a couple of weeks ago when the album came out, and I don't think any of us at that time, Chester, were expecting the kind of sales that you guys had in that first week out, and you have continued since then. I mean, records just don't sell. Nobody sells records like you do anymore. It was unbelievable the support you got that first week out.
Yeah. All I have to say is that, Linkin Park, we have the best fans in the world. We have the best fans in the world, hands down.
And speaking of which, your fans are going to be able to buy tickets for your show coming up tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster has the Project Revolution tickets for the show that's here July 28th, Glen Helen Hyundai Pavilion in DeVore. And Chester, I got to tell you, speaking of your fans, we were getting emails, a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago even, yelling at us for not talking about and giving the information out on how they can buy tickets for this tour. It's like, we really have a habit of really kind of going over the top and letting people know. We repeat stuff a lot. So it's funny that your fans are like, talk about it. Talk about it now.
Yeah, it's funny.
What is different about the Project Revolution shows for Linkin Park than the other shows that you do where you headline and you might have a support act on the road?
Well, the biggest difference, I think, is really, this is our chance to kind of put a more festival kind of vibe together. I mean, I know everybody's talking about, all the festivals that go on every year, and there's been a lot of, magazines talking about, Ozfest and all these different things. But, the thing that Project Revolution makes it different is it's pretty much, when we're touring, that's when it happens. And
right.
So, we put it together. We've got My Chemical Romance, we've got Taking Back Sunday, Him, Placebo, Julian K, Mindless Self-Indulgence, Seosin, The Bled, Styles of Beyond, and Medina Lake. They're all on the bill. And really, it's like a full day of just great music. It's different than, I think it's the most solid bill this summer, for sure, as far as like the summer touring festivals.
That's a strong lineup, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and for folks who, many people have seen Linkin Park. If you haven't seen My Chemical Romance, they're so fantastic in concert, especially on this tour. They're just really bringing it. Taking Back Sunday, incredibly energetic. Him, that's a great live band right there, too. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's a full day. The details on the show, of course, are Saturday, July 28th at the Glen Helen Hyundai Pavilion in DeVore, which, by the way, end of July in DeVore, about 200 degrees, I'm going to say.
I just cussed on the air.
Yeah, you did. Sorry. I had to take it off. Sorry. Bad weather. Bad weather.
And good music, for sure.
Yeah exactly. So tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Ticketmaster Outlets and LiveNation.com. Project Revolution is the show. Of course, you can go to LincolnPark.com, too. Now, all week long, we've been giving away tickets to the show ahead of the on sale, Chester. And you may or may not know, but we're going to do a grand prize drawing right now and send somebody to see the Project Revolution tour in Virginia Beach, Virginia, later this summer. And if you don't mind staying on the line, we'd like to have you included as we call the winner.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, our phones suck at K-Rock, so let's hope everybody can hear everybody, but we're going to give it a try right here.
It's not going to happen, though. Let's be honest.
I know. I know. We're so low rent.
All right. We're calling Corona, if I could give you a little hint.
Oh, Corona. What's his or her name?
His or her name is Gilbert.
Hello?
Hey, Gilbert.
Yes.
This is Gilbert. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock. How are you today? You know who we have on the line? We have Chester from Lincoln Park.
Awesome.
What's up, dude? How you doing, Gilbert?
Gilbert, Chester is on the road with Lincoln Park in Italy right now, but the reason we're all calling you is to tell you that you're the grand prize winner. You're going to see Project Revolution in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Awesome.
Nicely done. You have any questions for Chester?
No, I was looking forward to listening to play.
Looking forward to it. You don't have to buy tickets. You're the only person right now that doesn't have to buy tickets.
Yep.
You do realize that because it's in Virginia Beach, you have to get like a tan where it's only your neck and like half of your arms, right?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
That's great. That's awesome.
Gilbert Barella from Corona just got those tickets. Of course, he already got the tickets to see Project Revolution at the Hyundai Pavilion. And you're also qualified to get a key. You do get a key that could start the 2007 Chevrolet HHR and gas for a whole year. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think that's too much for Gilbert.
I do too. Gilbert has not earned it. He doesn't deserve it. I'm not comfortable giving it to him. I will be honest.
This is awesome. Thank you very much.
I don't think we can take it back, but you get all that.
Gilbert, I know it's tough. I know it's tough with a name like Gilbert to get the chicks, but I want you to try this out at work today or school or wherever you're going and over the weekend. I want you to say, yeah, so Friday morning I'm talking to my dude Chester Bennington from Lincoln Park. And just see if that gets it in with the ladies. All right, dude?
Yeah, I'll try it.
All right.
Yeah, again, Gilbert saying, "I just talked to my buddy Chester."
Right, and we're gonna exactly, and we're gonna give Gilbert your cell phone number if that's all right, Chester, so he can have the chicks call you.
Great, that'd be great, Chester.
All right, Gilbert, we're gonna hang up on you. Someone from the K-Rock Promotions Department will call you later with all the details. Chester, we're gonna let you get back to the nonsense that is Lincoln Park over there in Italy. What city are you guys playing in tonight? Are you playing in Venice?
Well, it'd be super hard to play in Venice. It's like it's the craziest, most weird city I've ever seen in my life. But it's really cool. But I think we're playing on the mainland, just off the shores of Venice, somewhere on the beach.
I'm just a gambling man. I'm gonna go with Chester doesn't know.
I think Chester
honestly,
does know.
It's Venice, but it's not actually in Venice.
Oh, I got you.
All right. Yeah, just outside.
They'd have to ferry everything over. I mean, to get a case of beer to a restaurant has to be like shipped over on a boat and then hand trolleyed through the alleys of the city. It's crazy.
That sounds like a lot of work.
There was a famous writer, famous at the time, I don't remember his name now, who went to Venice for the first time and sent a telegram back to his publisher in New York City and said, he sent this telegram from Venice. He said, "Streets are full of water, please advise." Which I always think about because that is a crazy town. Chester, we're looking forward to Lincoln Park being back at the end of July for the Project Revolution. Always great to catch up with you. You and your guys and your band are always so nice to us here at K-Rock, man. We really appreciate hearing from you, dude.
We appreciate everything you guys do for us. You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Chester. Have a good one.
All right, thanks.
Bye now.
A lot of show, but of course, as you know, Friday, we really reserve for art installations. I mean, that's really what the Friday Kevin and Bean Show is all about, I think you know.
And it has been for years. If we don't do art on Fridays, people yell at us.
Absolutely. Will Tidman is on the phone right now. He is the project manager for something you know about if you live down in HB. Others may not. It is it's the Red Bull Illume. Will, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Thank you for your website, by the way, redbullillume.com. I am looking at a webcam from a lifeguard tower at Huntington Beach right now.
Yep.
Oh, nice. Tell us about this Red Bull's Illume and what it is and how you guys came up with the idea. Because on the surface, it's just a bizarre bunch of gigantic lit-up boxes on the sand with, you know, it looks so bizarre. It looks weird. How did you guys come up with the idea in the first place?
Well, the exhibit is a result of a contest that we held last year, and we invited professional and amateur photographers to submit their imagery around action and adventure sports to our contest. And what you see is the result of that contest. It's the top 50 images from all the images that were submitted. And the exhibit is basically 25 8-foot cubes that illuminate at night and showcase these top 50 images.
Now, ordinarily, in a competition like this, a photography competition, they'd go to an art gallery somewhere, you know, down on La Brea or something, put them on the walls, and people would come in and see them. But you guys came up with something phenomenal, which is put it outdoors at Huntington Beach. Where did that idea come from, and how tough was it to make happen?
Yeah, in viewing these images, as we were looking through them, you're right, we were actually thinking about going into galleries, but as we were looking at them, we kind of felt like they deserved a bit of a bigger platform, and we wanted to do something a bit unique that kind of owned up to the impressiveness of these images. So we basically just decided to take them outdoors and allow people to experience viewing these images in unique environments.
And I don't know how you begin making those phone calls by saying, okay, we need 8-foot squares. They need to be just reflecting during the day. But then at night, they need to be able to do a slideshow of the best pictures that have ever been taken with extreme sports.
Yeah, exactly. It was a long process. I mean, it took us about 3 months to really fine-tune this idea. And we wanted it to be modular. We wanted to be able to go to any environment. We launched this back in January. And built this exhibit in the snow on Aspen Mountain.
I see.
And then, obviously, as you see now, it's on the beach, and then we're going to be taking it to Portland, Oregon next. So the concept was to really find different types of environments and climates for people to go out and actually get outside and view art and kind of turn the whole gallery experience inside out.
Now, is Red Bull, or is the reason that you guys are the sponsors, is that because you have a lot of sponsorships in the active sports community?
Well, you know, Red Bull really wanted to honor these photographers. I mean, there's a lot of work done with athletes in action adventure sports and with photographers, and this was really a way to just honor these photographers who are doing this work. I mean, generally, you really don't see this type of imagery on this scale.
Right.
You usually see it when you open up the endemic publications in Surf Magazine, Ski Magazine. So Red Bull really wanted to find a way to honor these photographers who do such incredible work.
And everybody who everybody who reads the surf magazines and stuff like that, they know the kind of photography that's done. But this really is outstanding photographs. I mean, you got people in BMX bikes that look like they're going over huge mountain ranges and barely hanging on to a mountain when they're trying to climb it. And it's really great stuff that you're showing out there.
Yeah, thank you. It's it was hard to narrow it down to these images. There were so many that were submitted that were just phenomenal, and we actually brought in photo editors from some major publications to help us with the judging process. And these 50, you know, we've got people coming back night after night to see these, because you can look at them over and over, and they continue to be amazing. It's a pretty amazing display of imagery out there.
I was surprised to see how many of your winners of the photo contest in the various categories are from outside the United States as well. I mean, these sports are all over the world now.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, we ended up with photographers submitting from over 90 countries. We had people from all over the world submit to this contest. And in the 50 finalists that are out on Huntington Beach right now, we've got 19 different countries represented. So you're right. I mean, these types of sports are happening all over the world. We're lucky enough to be able to showcase them on Huntington Beach.
So it's just off the pier in HB, and it ends this weekend. The installation comes down, what, Sunday night?
That's right. Yep, we've got tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night. The exhibit illuminates at 8:30 at night, and it runs till 11 o'clock at night. So we've got 3 more nights left.
That would so suck to be the guys that have to take that down and move.
And pack it up and drive it to Portland. All right, let me spell the name, because it's not a word most of us use, and I want to make sure people are able to go to the website. Particularly, you ought to try to see it in person, but if you can't, there is a beautiful gallery of these photos that are on the website. And, of course, Red Bull you can spell, and then the word after that is Illume, and it's ILLUME, RedBullIllume.com. And we'll put a link to that from KROQ.com, too. So
and
people can check it out.
KROQ.
Right. Will, good stuff, man. Thank you for coming on and telling our listeners about it. We appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, man. All right, take one of your ass now. Take one of your ass.
I already got one of my ass. What do you want? You want like full frontal? Or do you? All right, hold on.
Maybe just.
Hey, guys, whoever's camera that is that they left in the studio
are
not going to be. Oh, it's Jed's. Oh, take one of your ass for sure. Then
to like pull up the bubble gum so you can get a good view.
Yes. Oh no. Yes.
First rule of thumb is don't tell anyone about Fight Club. But then the second rule is don't leave your camera in the K Rock studio because you never know what kind of pictures are going to be on it when you finally get it back. It's 7:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is on vacation. We're looking at the Showbiz Beat. By the way, an update on the tip I gave you earlier in the hour about going to YouTube and typing in Obama love.
Yes.
And watching the first video that comes up because it's an unbelievably hot chick who has a crush on Obama. I can't vote for him because I can't say his name.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Paul from Riverside writes in, Pope is out, Kevin, Mead, and Lisa, thank you for the Obama link. This completely makes up for the last couple of crappy years listening to your show, Paul from Riverside. P.S. In case you don't know, the girl's name is Amber Lee Ettinger. She is a model, and AmberLeeOnline.com is her site. So now we're finding more information about this hottie in the Barack Obama video. So that's all I really care about today.
Stop showing me pictures, Mike.
Is that okay?
I'm not looking. All right.
Kelly, we want to see that.
Kelly Clarkson has had to cancel a tour. I don't know if you know about the behind-the-scenes fighting that's been going on with her CD with her record company.
Yeah, I've been reading about it.
She wants to do a certain kind of music. They don't want her to. They're trying to control her. She's an outlaw. She plays by her own rules.
Well, here's the thing. Kelly Clarkson, who is the first American Idol and the most successful of all the American Idols, has sold 11 million albums, is with Clive Davis's label. And the guy knows from hits, right? I mean, this is a guy who has steered dozens of careers. I mean, you know, Whitney Houston and Santana, and I mean, just on and on and on. The guy knows what he's talking about.
Right.
So he says, hey, I want you to use these songs that I found because they're hits. And she says, I don't want to do that. I want to write my own songs. So now the label's a little concerned that maybe her songs aren't going to be as good as the people who write the hits. And there, I mean, it's been a battle to the point where the album was canceled at one point, and then it's back, and then it's coming out. Now it's been delayed, and now you're saying she's not even going to be touring.
Well, they had really, really poor ticket sales.
Wow.
And so they had to actually cancel the entire summer tour. So I don't know what the hell's going on.
I don't know. I admire her for fighting that battle, though, because it is her music. She wants to write it.
Yeah, but she's
an American Idol artist. She's not an artist. She's a commodity, Lisa. She's a cog in the machine.
Hold on, everybody. Just wait a second. She won a contest on a TV show. Yes. She's not an artist.
But she can sing.
Yes, but you don't know if she can write worth crap.
Neither do you.
Well, see, you guys, what you don't know is that a lot of venues are having problems booking people to come in, you know, audience members, because all the concessions are gone by the time they get there because she gets there early and eats everything up.
Mike.
They're fat ass.
Come on.
Look, I like Kelly Clarkson. I'm a fan of Kelly Clarkson's, but I don't know if she's making a mistake here. Clive Davis offered her $10 million to swap out 5 of her songs on her upcoming album and replace them with 5 songs
that he picked. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes.
And she said no?
And she said no. She said, hey, I'm 25 and won a TV show, Clive Davis. What do you know about music?
Wow.
Hey, Bean, you said you liked one of her songs. Do you know if that's one that she wrote?
I don't. The one that's out now, the Never Enough song, I like very, very much. I don't know if it's one she wrote or not, but it's real good.
Okay. She won a contest of singing on TV.
Hey, fatty, you are fat.
She's not that fat, you guys.
No, she's not.
She's not fat at all.
She's kind of average.
Well, she's a little fat.
She's kind of average. I mean, she's fat compared to Paris Hilton, but she's kind of normal.
She's not
average.
She's not Adderall skinny, if that's what you're saying.
She might be average, but she's average for an America that's fat. With her overwhelming muffin top.
Overwhelming muffin top.
I don't know that her muffin top is overwhelming. By the way, overwhelming muffin top is opening in Linda.
And Lisa and I are talking about it up here. She could do herself a lot more favors by dressing more appropriately for her physique.
For her size.
She dresses like Jessica Alba, and it, you know, come on.
Yeah. You got to be built like Jessica.
Right. And Bean was bringing up that, you know, Clive Davis offered her $5 million to swap out some of her songs. I offered her $5 million to swap out egg whites for her mayonnaise sandwich, and she wouldn't do it.
Thank you.
I have a feeling he's trying to make some sort of mayonnaise sandwich sex joke, and I don't want to hear about it.
You were 58 pounds overweight when you came down here, weren't you? Yes, sir. You were a fat slob. You looked like a great white whale, didn't you? Yes, sir. You're going to lose every ounce of that 58 pounds, you hear? Yes, sir. Every day at chow, you will show me your trade. Yes, sir. You ain't gonna eat no bread, no corn, no pie, cake, desserts of any kind, no whole milk, no beans, no butter, no sugar, no potatoes, candy, ice cream, salad dressings, or peanut butter. Yes, sir. You came here with nothing but fat. You're gonna leave here with nothing but muscle. Yes, sir.
Simon
All right,
Cowell.
Okay. Sir, yes, sir.
Simon
wow.
Cowell.
All right. Speaking of eating, we don't have much time here. Mr. Movie Phone takes a look at the Friday offerings in the theater today here coming up after the news. But I did want to do this story, especially in light of Lightning's disastrous appearance at the Dodger game last weekend where he flaked on eating the 9 hot dogs that he promised us throughout the course of the game. This is big, big news, you guys. In the sport of competitive eating, you know, the masters of competitive eating is the hot dog eating contest on Coney Island on the boardwalk there on the 4th of July every year.
Right.
And you know that tiny little Japanese guy who always wins?
That little bastard, Kobayashi, man.
Kobayashi. Yeah.
He's destroying us.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. He, by the way, holds the world hot dog eating record, I guess, which is 53. And I don't know how much time do they give him. It's a short amount of time. It's like 3 minutes or something.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I don't
It's
I don't
something
remember.
Crazy. And he, yeah, you know, no, well, anyway. It's how long, Mike?
You're right. It's very short because he eats them at a whiplash pace.
A breakneck pace, right. He is taking this year off, according to his manager.
What?
He's not going to be there. Yeah. I mean, this guy wins every single year. This would be like Tiger Woods saying, yeah, I'm not playing the Masters this year. So he is taking the year off, and apparently the new odds-on favorite, if you're wagering.
Is Lightning.
I love this guy. No, unfortunately, Lightning didn't make the cut. Oh. Is a Californian. We may have to try to get him on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut.
So he's now the odds-on favorite to win the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. So we'll definitely follow that for you. And do we have time for one more? We really don't. I have to save really. Joe Rogan's latest feud with yet another comic coming up for next hour.
Love that.
You saw what he did to Carlos Mencia. Wait till you see what he's doing to Ant. We'll tell you about that 1 hour from right now. Today's celebrity birthdays, there's that actress from that movie and that other actress from that TV show and then that guy who was in that thing and then that baseball player and then that guy in Air Supply and then that guy who's dead now. And that's all the people celebrating a birthday today. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Had a chance to talk with Chester Bennington from that band last hour as we did our grand prize drawing and sent Gilbert Barilla of Corona to Virginia Beach to see Linkin Park and the Project Revolution Tour. The tickets for that go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Our pal Seth Green, tremendous actor and really an unusual voiceover artist because on The Robot Chicken, he makes no attempt whatsoever to make any of the voices sound like the people he's actually doing. And I think that I got to give him a lot of credit for that. So anyway, he's got a very special Star Wars edition of The Robot Chicken airing this Sunday night on the Cartoon Network. We will talk all about it coming up. First, it's Friday. Ralph's on vacation, but filling in as usual with the films for the weekend is our old friend, Mr. Movie Phone.
Hey, happy Friday, you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Wow. Bean, was that your attempt at doing the voice?
You know, it's got to be crazy for you, Russ, to have everybody over the last 10 years try to do Mr. Movie Phone better than Mr. Movie Phone. Does that get pretty annoying?
Well, the thing that gets annoying is the fact that most people do Mr. Movie Phone better than Mr. Movie Phone.
That's true.
When you call to, like, leave a message on your friend's answering machine, do you go, please call me back? Do you talk like the Mr. Movie Phone?
Well, you know what? Every now and again, I try to throw out the voice. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I get punched in the face.
He's not,
well, I can understand.
He's not Fred Snyder, for God's sakes.
<That's>, right. That was
Please
a little
call
bit
me
more,
back.
That was a little bit more Fred Snyder. Well, listen, Mr. Movie Phone. This summer has been chock full of sequels, and so far, a lot of them have either been critically or commercially disappointed. And now, of course, we're on another one of the biggest ones of the year, which is the Fantastic Four. We might as well start with that. You've seen it, I'm sure. What do we need to know?
Well, you know what? It's funny that you should mention that because I have actually been taking quite a bit of crap about hammering these sequels so hard. I mean, it's the summer of suckwels, it seems to me.
See what you did
wow.
there?
See how I turned sequels into suckwels? Believe me, it gets better from
I
here
like
on
that.
Out. Here's the thing. So what I've decided to do this week is try to look at these movies through the eyes of the intended audience, right? Because all these movies, their target audience isn't everybody. For
right.
example, Hostel 2, made for criminals and people who pulled the wings off of butterflies as children, I guess.
Hey, I saw that.
And,
of course you did.
And you're a frog killer.
And it was fantastic, and a bunch of kids used a woman's head to play soccer. That's all I'm going to say.
See?
All right, back
there
to you.
There you go. So I'm going to try to take this week's new movies. I'm going to try to look at them
okay.
through the eyes of the intended audience. All right, let's start with Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Okay, we got Mr. Fantastic, we got the Invisible Woman, the Human Torch, the Thing, they're all back trying to save the world from destruction. Now this time, it's against the Silver Surfer, who's traveling the galaxy, bringing chaos to every world he visits, of course.
Right.
Now, also returning, you got the mortal enemy Dr. Doom, and you got the planet-eating Galactus. Let's take a listen.
It's happening again, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
No, we're not postponing anything, not this time. This is going to be the wedding you've always dreamed of, and I'm not going to let anything get in the way of that. Not even the mysterious transformation of matter at the subatomic level.
That's the most romantic thing you've ever said to me.
She's really pathetic when you think about it.
Now that sounds funny, Mr. Movie Phone.
Really? Does it?
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay, well here's the thing. As an adult-aged male,
mm-hmm. yes.
I found the movie to be way too cartoony, completely uninspired, another lame summer sequel, and it blows.
Okay, I have a question for you, though. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is Jessica Alba in it?
Well, funny you should mention that, because calling on my 14-year-old inner fanboy...
There you go.
Absolutely no discerning taste in almost anything, I discovered Jessica Alba.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
So is it worth going to see just to look at Jessica Alba for 90 minutes?
Negative.
Negative. Wow. How about that?
I take a pass on that. But by the way, if you are a 14, 15-year-old boy and, you know, your parents stole your porn, then go check it out. It'll do just fine.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. So Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. One last note on that. I do hear that the special effects, the way they bring the Silver Surfer to life, is pretty impressive on the big screen. I hear it does look great.
The effects are pretty cool to look at. But if you saw the first movie, which was really awful, you've seen the second movie, which is equally as awful.
I like the first one. I'm going to this one.
Okay. You fried ants with a magnifying glass.
Julia Roberts has a cousin. She's an adorable little teenager named Emma Roberts. She stars as that all-time classic crime-fighting girl, Nancy Drew. That opens up today, Mr. Movie Phone.
That is exactly right. You guys remember the books. Lisa, you read them as a young lady.
I did, absolutely.
You know what? I read the books, which people find odd, but...
Hey!
I'm in touch with my
well, we were talking about this on the air the other day. I read the books. I read the Nancy Drews and I read the Hardy Boys. I loved them all.
I loved you for a reason.
Gay!
It's top-notch gay.
How's the film?
So she's back, you guys. You know, the teen sleuth, played by the lovely Emma Roberts. She leaves her small town and moves with her dad to Hollywood. See, she's trying to fit in with her retro ways into the new Hollywood whorish kind of high school crowd. That's not working out. But you know what? Nancy doesn't care. Because, of course, she's busy uncovering a mystery revolving around the murder of a famous actress. Let's take a listen.
Ned, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell when a girl looks at you and is thinking how much she likes you and wondering if you like her, but thinking how important it is for you to say how you feel before she says anything more about how she feels about you or anyone else that you might be jealous of because she's already saying how she feels in her own way?
Can you repeat the question?
Okay, now.
Oh,
no, wait a second now. Now, let me just say this. As an adult-aged male,
yes?
I found the movie to be very TV movie of the weekish. Okay. Another Hollywood rehash doesn't do the Nancy Drew stories justice, so I'm out. But, hey, as a 12-year-old girl.
Which Bean is.
Yes, which I am, by the way.
I thought Nancy was totally cool. Her clothes were, like, totally awesome. And her boyfriend is a super hottie, so I'm in.
All right.
Could you be any gayer?
So, you know what you're getting. I guess, like you said, you're speaking on behalf of the audience. If that's you and that's the kind of movie you want, go. Otherwise, not so much, right?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Movie Phone.
Also in theaters this weekend.
Mr. Movie Phone, I do have to tell you, your friend Bean has been looking forward to this Nancy Drew movie, I don't know, for a couple of years.
I have been looking forward to it. Now, DOA is third on the docket, and that is, am I right, is that Jamie Presley in a Wonder Bra?
Yes, and Bean, I love you and your ability to touch your inner child.
Yeah.
I'm touching it right now while we're on the phone.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. Yes, the movie's Dead or Alive. It's a feature adaptation, the best-selling video game franchise, so people probably played the game. Now, listen to the plot of this movie. The movie centers on four scantily clad female fighters in a competition to the death on an exotic island.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Alrighty. How about that?
Yeah, do we have a clip from that? Can
no,
we listen to that?
We don't have a clip from that one, no.
Oh, well, dang. Well, Bean, could you just do a little something for us?
Yeah.
Well, Psycho Mike, you're going to love this because it sounds like actual domination over women. I mean, this sounds like your pick for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you guys, if you're a 14-year-old boy, this may be the best movie you've ever seen in your life.
Wow.
The movie aims low, it hits the target. You know, I'm out because as an adult age male, watching chicks in these bikinis knocking the dog out of each other, that would be unacceptable. But as my hormonally charged 14-year-old boy, I am way in.
Okay, excellent.
All right, we're almost out of time. Mr. Movie Phone filling in for Ralph Garman with the Movie Beat. I want to mention real quick, because we had Billy Connolly on the show last week, that the crazy Canadian zombie movie Fido is out this weekend also. And the one that I wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to speak out for a minute is Crazy Love, which may be one of the weirdest stories in its real-life story. And did you see this one, Mr. Movie Phone?
I did, and it is an amazing documentary. In fact, with all the summer blockbusters, if you can, go to moviephone.com. We've got an alternative section where you can sort of check out some other movies that may actually probably be worth your $10. This movie, Crazy Love, it's a documentary about Bert and Linda Pugash. They're this couple who, even after he throws lye in her face and burns out her eyes, they manage to stay together.
What?
That's love.
You guys, yeah. Nothing says love like a big handful of poison in the face.
He put poison in her face?
And they managed to say, it's a fascinating documentary, and you absolutely have to check that out. Like I said, big blockbusters, so-so. Come, go check out some of these smaller movies, and of course you can get those at MoviePhone.com. And thank you guys for having me on. I always love to be with you, and I am Mr. MoviePhone. I walk the movie beat.
Something like that. Thank you, Mr. MoviePhone. We appreciate it.
I gave it my all. I gave it all.
Trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Look. When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Back off my jock, okay, dinkus? Dinkus?
In reality, it's more like she was obsessed with this.
Hey, you know what? Keep dreaming, Seth. Keep dreaming.
I had enough people come up to me, ask me to do the voice.
Yeah, yeah. And they also have an Orange Julius. Just trying to keep the conversation going.
What do you want from me, you beaver? What, an autograph? A headshot? Well, unless you can trade me a clean cup of urine, you can forget it.
Would you stop?
How about an hour?
How about a what?
How about an hour?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you do, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Doo?
Well, that sounds like our guy Seth Green right there is what all of that sounds like. Welcome, Seth.
Thanks.
How you been, man?
I'm good.
We were just talking during that song. We thought you used to be in movies. Is that... What?
I've been concentrating pretty heavily on making this show.
Yeah, he's a TV mogul now, Kevin.
That's true. Oh, I know. Trust me. I saw that. I was telling him in the hallway. I saw the news that he was doing the Star Wars thing. And it was fascinating to me that I read that George Lucas was going to be a part of it.
He is, yeah.
Please tell me how that came about, because that's really weird.
Well, we wrote this special, which is a half-hour Robot Chicken that's all Star Wars dedicated. And one of the sketches we wrote was George Lucas at a Star Wars convention meeting a bunch of rabid fans. And then we approached him about doing it, and he said yes.
He's generally kind of hard to get, isn't he?
That's what I hear. He's been incredibly receptive.
That's so bizarre.
No. He's got a great sense of humor, and he lucky for us, thinks our show is funny and has been very, very participatory.
So he knew about the show beforehand?
Yeah. The sketch that we did, The Emperor Phone Call, was on our second season, and it got noticed by Lucasfilm, and then they called us to request to put it on their website, and I did an interview that accompanied it, and it kind of just made the rounds. There's a rumor about George Lucas showing that clip to a bunch of people in a board meeting.
No kidding.
I know. So we just started striking while the iron was hot and said, you know, give us a half hour, give us autonomy, and give us a lot of freedom creatively.
Sure. Yeah, we always get the impression, you always hear these stories about these Star Wars fan sites, that he sends, you know, actual stormtroopers to their home to kill people, you know, if he doesn't like them.
Well, in the coming years, in the more recent years especially, they've been far more receptive to fan participation. They recognize that people doing things out of love for the brand is not going to take away from, you know, the sincere potential financially for any of it.
And there's so much more chance now for people to do that. I mean, just even normal people with
camcorders. It's impossible to stop, and it's one of those, if you can't squash them all beneath your thumb, you might as well kind of celebrate them and encourage people to demonstrate their love for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Did you go to a Star Wars convention with George Lucas?
No, but we did.
Because I'm trying to imagine what that must be like. It must be like what Jesus feels like when people gather around him and, like, just to touch the hem of his garment. He must be so beloved in that room.
I'm sure he would be, yeah. But that's kind of what we did in this sketch, was show him, go to Mecca, as it were.
Here's one of the clips of George Lucas on your show.
It all started in 1978 when I let people make a Star Wars TV special without me.
The holiday special, I remember.
It came out so bad. I hate it.
George, remember what I said about controlling your emotions?
Yeah, can't fall to the dark side.
Now he does an extended take demonstrating, like, huh? Huh? Get the joke? I said dark side? I'm the guy that wrote that? Huh?
By the way, the Star Wars holiday special, for folks who have never seen it, and occasionally it'll show up as a bootleg on eBay, and I have the record album of it.
Oh, boy.
Was one of the most unbelievable hours of television ever.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where before the movie came out, Lucas made a deal with, I think it was NBC, to produce a holiday special, and they hired B. Arthur and Art Carney, and like the first 5 minutes of it is all in Wookiee, and it's really, really bad.
It is
and
so effed up, though. It's so bad, it's well worth trying
super
to find.
Bad. It's hard to find, and he's never allowed it to be distributed. So that that clip is actually from a promo that we did where we got him on a therapist's couch kind of confessing that he's given the Robot Chicken guys the opportunity to make a half-hour Star Wars, and we're like, oh, 30 years of progress down the drain. But when we got him in the booth to scream and yell about how much he hates the holiday special,
right?
He distorted the mic. Like,
really?
He yelled so
he really
loud,
hates it.
Full of venom and fear, and I was like, wow, George, that's we're excising some demons here. Huh?
That's good acting. He's like, I'm not acting.
I mean, what do you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already has a comb? Was one of the big musical numbers of the show.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, man.
So where were you as the creator of Robot Chicken? Where were you as a Star Wars fan? Was this a huge deal for you to be able to work with George Lucas?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I loved Star Wars growing up and always wanted to be a part of Star Wars projects. So getting to make one is really mind-blowing. But, you know, as with anything where you get an opportunity to do something that's incredibly appealing to you that you would be thrilled to do, I've kind of had to just turn off any of my fandom and just get professional and get the work done so that it's done right. And I had to go in and direct a voiceover session with him, and I just had to honestly say, okay, I've come here to
George,
get...
George, you're not giving me enough. For God's sakes, man.
We did. We had great banter. It was really fun. He came in and said, oh, great, so I get to be the actor now? And I'm like, yeah, as long as you don't mind me being the prick director, we're going to swear.
Everything will be fine.
And he goes, so I'll just rewrite all these lines, and I'm like, as long as we get one the way it's written, you can say whatever you want. I got to get the tracks I need. It's got to go a certain way. I know we've only got like 20 minutes with him. So
we're going to take a quick break. Seth Green is here. Robot Chicken Star Wars is Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Now, it's normally on 11:30, right?
So it is. This is actually a marathon from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. We are taking over the network for that period of time. So the special is going to run at the top of every hour. So 10, 11, midnight, et cetera. And then the half hour in between is Greatest Hits of Robot Chicken.
Fantastic.
So if you haven't seen the show before, it's a good opportunity to catch up.
It's a great opportunity. It's a great show, too. We'll take a quick break and come back and ask a few more questions about this new Star Wars show, Robot Chicken Star Wars.
Go for Papa Palpatine.
You have a collect call from...
Darth Vader.
Jim Lindbergh is the lead singer of the band Pennywise. He has written a book called Punk Rock Dad. We'll be talking to him just after 9 o'clock. In the meantime, we've got a few more minutes with our friend Seth Green, Robot
Woo!
Chicken Star Wars.
Robot Chicken Star Wars.
Airs Sunday night at 10 and then all night long on the Cartoon Network. Let me ask you about a couple of the people in the special. You talked about George Lucas, but the real Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, he's on the show. What's he doing?
He came in and played Luke Skywalker in our first season, and then we used a clip of that in the special. It's a really funny clip where Darth Vader kind of reveals all the secrets of the Star Wars universe in one moment.
Okay. Conan O'Brien on the show?
Yeah, Conan O'Brien comes
He's
on
an alien,
show.
Right?
Yeah. We cast him as a really obscure bounty hunter who has a talk show. I mean, the whole show is just like silly send-up of Star Wars universe, like periphery view of what could have been happening there.
What about the real Jar Jar Binks? And when was the last time anyone called him for work?
He actually works quite a bit. Ahmed Best, who was cast in the intended superstar breakout role of Jar Jar Binks, which unfortunately became the most hated character in all of cinema, came in to play Jar Jar, and he's really, really funny.
What is it, when you're talking to George Lucas, is it, and you're spoofing pretty much the whole Star Wars world, don't you have to kind of pick on Jar Jar Binks, and does he have any kind of a sense of humor about that?
He seemed to have a great sense of humor. I mean, our approvals didn't go through him for the script phase, and he ultimately watched things at a much later date to make approvals. He approved the show in concept, said, yeah, all right, let's do something like this, and then trusted everybody else to do their work, which was incredible.
Wow.
But it makes it feel like something separate, even though it's Lucasfilm, you know, participates in approvals. It makes it feel, they didn't try and hamper our creative, you know.
Well, that's really cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. And of course, you can't talk about Star Wars without talking about James Vanderbeek, TV's Dawson.
Well, that came from a different bit, because we had James Vanderbeek in to do something in our second season, and we did a sketch where George Bush gets Jedi powers, and we lifted that from the series too and put it in the special because it was Star Wars related and funny. And Vanderbeek plays the doctor that gives him the bad news.
Now this is a full half hour, and did you have at any point were you thinking about going for a full hour, or did you not have enough?
We had enough material for an hour, but we were budgeted at a half hour.
Oh, I see.
So we had to cut 50% of it.
I gotcha.
Oh, that's hurt.
It wasn't bad. I mean, what we wound up doing was whittling it down. We wrote a ton of material, got all that material approved, and then recorded it, and then went in the animatic phase, which is like storyboard phase, essentially, and just said anything that wasn't gut-bustingly funny, we were going to cut. and just trimmed it down to what we felt was the best material.
You've been in show business since you were, what, like 10 or something like that?
But thanks for trying to shortchange me for years.
You were seven. Wow. But I get the sense from talking to you, Seth, when we've had you over the last couple of years, that you've never worked harder in your life on anything you do, Robot Chicken, between the writing and the directing and the producing and the filming and everything else. Yeah. It seems like a real full-time job.
It is. And, it's an enormous undertaking. And you know, I take it on knowingly.
Right. It's not a surprise.
No, but there's a midpoint in every season where I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is a lot of work.
Yeah. What am I doing?
I guess my question is, why is it so important to you to do something like this that's so much more work when you are a good actor and you probably get plenty of scripts to choose from? Why are you going the hard route?
I tell you the truth, I've read a bunch of stuff and there just hasn't been things that I really got excited about. And the one or two projects that I really wanted to do, I wasn't the director's take on it. So, I'm in a comfortable enough position financially to not have to take jobs that I don't want.
Right.
And this show is something that is very creatively satisfying, and it's a great, way to flex all those muscles, and it's fantastic experience, and in a very safe environment. My partner and I have established an actual functioning production company and given ourselves a credibility in the marketplace as producers, writers, and directors, which translates into, being able to make better TV deals and better feature deals.
Mm.
So, one of the things that I'm doing is we just wrapped the writing on the third season of Robot Chicken. I'm going to take time with Seth MacFarlane and Tom Rudd, who's the head writer on the show, and I'm going to write something for Seth MacFarlane and I to act in.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so great. Yeah.
It's a good way to spend the summer.
And by the way, I'm glad you brought up your partner because you saw that they're not outlawing gay marriage in Massachusetts. That came down yesterday. So
it's so nice. I mean, we're really looking forward to something beyond a civil union that means something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is now you got Massachusetts, you got Vermont. I mean, the options are starting to open up for you guys.
Yeah. And working with the people you love really just opens your eyes in a way you never imagined.
This show does look like, the timing couldn't be any better, too. There's no Sopranos on Sunday nights anymore. I'll tell you that. So great timing for you with the Star Wars special of Robot Chicken. It airs starting at 10 o'clock on the Cartoon Network, and as Seth mentioned, it's then going to be played every hour at the top of the hour all night long, right?
It is damn funny.
And then there's other best of stuff. If you haven't checked out this show yet, it's really fantastic. I downloaded most of them, I think, from iTunes and put them on my iPod.
Yeah, everything's on iTunes now.
Or
at AdultSwim.com, I think you can download clips too.
Fantastic. So again, 10 o'clock Sunday night, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim.
Hilarious.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, guys.
Come in anytime.
Starting to get some emails this morning saying, hey, I heard you guys are having Robert Bradley on. Is it true? Yeah, he's the guy who sings that Don't Bogart This Joint song that we play at the end of every Friday show. And he is in Los Angeles working on a new record. Very talented singer. And he's going to be coming into our studio and performing that for us live about a little less than 1 hour from right now. That's going to be a treat. All the years we've been playing that song to actually have it done live by the guy who sings it.
It'll be
a lot of fun.
We've been playing it and butchering it ourselves as we sing along.
Yeah. Do we dare sing along with him, or do we just let him have it?
I say we let the artist sing.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody
right
wants to hear
that.
Us sing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
he might quit the music business if he hears what we've been doing to his song. That's a good point. It's 8:55 on a Friday morning. This is our final Showbiz Beat of the week. Ralph has been on vacation. He will return on Monday. We gave you a Paris-free report last hour, but I'm sorry we can't do it two times in a row because... Well, she's in jail and some junk, don't
what?
You know?
What?
She, as you've heard, is going to be serving 23 days of her 45-day sentence, which is interesting because it is longer than 80% of the people who are in jail for similar offenses.
Mm-hmm. Remember when Harvey Levin told us that and we doubted him?
Yes, we mocked Harvey, which is should be criminal. We should never be allowed to do that.
Sorry, Harvey.
Well, I hate to keep pointing this out,
right.
But some people do serve longer sentences because the judges feel like they're blatantly disregarding the law and they're not respecting
the judge.
So
maybe she needs to be in that 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
All right, Harvey,
in fact,
under current
guidelines meant to ease overcrowding, most nonviolent female offenders sentenced to less than 90 days don't serve any time at all. They just get processed. It's just paperwork, and then they send them home because of the overcrowding, and they say they're nonviolent, so let's just let them loose.
Yeah.
It's enough that it's on their record. But yeah, Paris may have brought this on herself. She does have some good options when she gets out, though. She has been offered a role on Gilligan's Island, the musical, on stage in Las Vegas.
What?
She'll be playing Ginger, although she has the body of Gilligan. I don't know why they're giving her the Ginger's role.
Nice one.
And she's apparently been offered $800,000 to appear at the Paris is Out of Jail party that her parents are planning for her in Las Vegas, too. $800,000.
Wait a minute.
To appear at her own party?
Her parents
to appear
are
at
planning
her own party.
A party for her.
Yes. They probably brokered it while she was in the clink. They probably worked out a deal with one of the nightclubs in Las Vegas. Hey, how much will you pay to have Paris come here after she gets out of jail?
Wow.
That's disgusting.
Because think about what the interest is going to be in her after jail, getting the first pictures and the first interview and everything. I mean, the paparazzi are going to be going berserk. Why not do it at your nightclub if you've got it and you can afford it, right?
I guess that makes sense, yeah.
And I don't usually watch the Showbiz show, it's called, with David Spade, but they had a suggestion as to what's really going on with Paris and why she so desperately needs to get out of jail. Apparently, she's suffering from a medical condition known as the restless vagina syndrome.
Do you have trouble sleeping, sitting for long periods of time, or staying in jail? Then you are not alone. Millions of women suffer from RVS, restless vagina syndrome. Wow. You should talk to your doctor about RVS if you suffer from a desire to have sex which feels impossible to resist, involuntary and unexplainable sexual movements, strange sensations at night that keep you from falling asleep. Symptoms may improve during activities like climbing out of a car or entering a VIP area at a club. If you have RVS, ask your warden for parole today. Don't wait. Isn't it time you got your vagina back?
Well, that's true.
You know, if you've always wanted to have sex with Paris Hilton, I mean, the old joke has always been, wait and your turn will come. But you ought to be the first guy she sees when she gets out of jail. Because imagine, I mean, this is going to be the longest she's ever gone, right?
Was that a guarantee? Imagine, yeah. No matter what you look like, if you're a dude and she sees you, she's going to want you.
I think so. I mean, after 23 days in jail?
Nick.
That'll solve two problems.
We promised you last hour details on the latest Joe Rogan feud. Now, we love Joe, as you know, and he's a very, very funny comedian. And he had a little bit of a dust up, I'd say, with Carlos Mencia when he accused Carlos of stealing jokes. And they kind of fought back and forth the whole day. It was very funny. You can find all that on YouTube. Well, apparently, Ant, who is the openly gay host of the Celebrity Fit Club on VH1 and was the winner of maybe the first Last Comic Standing, maybe?
Maybe.
Apparently, he has fired off a seething message on his MySpace page in response to Joe Rogan's accusations on a radio show that Ant had been stealing jokes from other comics, which, as you know, is the absolute worst thing you can say about a comedian.
Right.
So I don't know whether this claim is true or not. I don't know whether Ant steals jokes or not. But Ant claims the only reason that Joe Rogan makes the accusation is because, and I'm quoting now, Joe just can't come out and call me a faggot. He says the accusation of joke theft is another way to gay bash, and Joe Rogan is a homophobe because he's accusing him of stealing material.
Is it possible? I don't get that from Joe.
Is it possible that Joe meant he was stealing material?
Well, apparently not, according to Ant. Apparently, if you say anything bad about Ant, it's because he's gay, not because he's, I don't know, not funny,
okay.
Apparently.
Yeah.
On the page, Ant says he's ready for Rogan's retaliation, saying, I can't wait to hear him proclaim Ant is using the homophobic card. How come a straight guy can't talk about a gay guy, blah, blah, blah? And by the way, I'd like to say on behalf of Joe Rogan, how come a straight guy can't talk about a gay guy and blah, blah, blah? That's what I'd like to say.
I'm with that comment.
Clearly, there's only one solution. They're going to have to fight.
Oh, I would love to see that.
I don't know if you have seen People Magazine. They've nominated the People's Hottest Bachelor, which they do every year.
Okay.
Who would you think it is, Lisa? Yep, Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, of course. Blah, blah, blah.
Matthew McConaughey. Brad Pitt doesn't count. He's not married, but he doesn't count because he has a girlfriend. Is that what?
Yeah.
Right. Bachelor of the Year by People Magazine. They came out with it Thursday. There were other actors on it who were interesting. Zach Braff.
I love Zach Braff. I know, he's super funny too,
but he doesn't strike you as the hottest bachelor like Matthew McConaughey does.
No.
I bet there's millions of girls who would line up for a shot at Zach Braff.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Britain's Prince William and Prince Harry.
Fully expected to see them on the list.
And Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes, it's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a species spicy sausage. How do you like that? Oh, yes.
I wasn't very interested in the topic. I just wanted to play that again.
It's been a while,
yeah.
Hey, congratulations to Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James. You may be thinking, Bean, you turned off the game too early. They actually ended up losing to the Spurs last night. They're not the champions. The season's over. But he actually had a reason to celebrate yesterday as he and his girlfriend, Savannah Brinson, gave birth to their second son. Bryce Maximus is the name.
Bryce Maximus,
and he follows LeBron James Jr., who I guess the couple has already had together.
A couple of quick Angelina notes before we take a break. And don't forget, again, we have Jim Lindbergh from Pennywise coming up after the top of the hour. He's a punk rock singer who's a punk rock dad, according to his new book. Angelina back in the news. She's been talking to the press just a little bit this week because of the premiere of her Mighty Heart movie. People couldn't help but notice, and Lisa pointed out, she saw some of the photos from the event, that the chick has just lost... Well, she's down to her original birth weight at this point. I mean, she's lost a lot of lbs, right?
Crazy how thin she is.
She's really skinny.
You didn't see that dress from the front, but from the back, I mean, she's got Nicole Richie bony back,
yes,
right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's rough. Her creepy brother that she makes out with, James Haven, told In Touch magazine that the reason his sister is so skinny is that every time she visits Ethiopia or someplace, she feels guilty eating afterwards since the people there don't seem to have any food.
So she doesn't eat in solidarity with her brethren?
I don't know how you not eating, Angelina, helps them get food.
My mom told me when I was little.
Same thing, yeah.
If I didn't eat, then
she was going to ship it over to the kids who need it.
China or whatever.
So maybe that's what she's doing.
I got in trouble bad one time when I told my mom, I would like to see you pack up this food and send it to China. I would like to see you try that.
You called her on that BS?
And then I realized it was just an expression. Angelina, when asked, said her hormones are just a little bit out of whack. Her nutrition is a little bit out of whack. She just stopped breastfeeding and she's having trouble kind of getting back on track. That's what she says. And the final Angelina note, and this is a miracle to me because, you know, one of the things these actresses love is they have access to every big designer in the world. I mean, if they want an Oscar de la Renta dress, they call Oscar de la Renta and he sends them 50 to choose from to wear on these red carpets.
Or in the case of her, I'm sure they approach her and say, we want you
absolutely
to wear. Here's some free stuff.
Yeah, they beg Angelina Jolie to wear their stuff, right? Well, at the premiere on the red carpet the other night of A Mighty Heart, the dress that she was wearing, which she looked beautiful in, by the way, cost $26. She bought it from a thrift store on Melrose for $26.
No kidding.
Wow.
Maybe she feels guilty when she sees other people wearing expensive dresses, so maybe she can't. I don't know.
But
she's damn near perfect.
People in Ethiopia don't have nice clothing. Maybe that's what it is about.
Today's celebrity birthdays, a lot of good ones today. Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt is 44. Courtney Cox, who I think, by the way, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, I think she was the only member of the Friends cast who never won an Emmy, I want to say.
Oh, I think
that's
you're
sound right.
Right.
Does that sound possible?
Yeah.
That's for some reason, she was overlooked, but she is 43 years old today. Of course, she's the star of that new show, Dirt. Actor Jim Belushi, the luckiest sumbitch in showbiz, is 53 today. Actor Jake Busey, 36. From Doogie Howser and How I Met Your Mother, Neil Patrick Harris is 34. Shocking to see him on the Tonys the other night. Couldn't believe he was there. It's unbelievable. Julie Haggerty, who was from the Airplane movies, is 52. Actress Leah Remini is 37. My pal Russell Hitchcock from the band Air Supply. He and I made out one time.
Bean kissed him on the lips. Yep. We were doing a loser singles party, and they were claiming that we were cutting them down and that we might be a little homophobic. So he said, why don't you kiss me, Bean? And I said, yeah, Bean, why don't you kiss him? And Bean did. And that's how I knew Bean was gay.
And by the way, we dated like 2 years after that, too.
I didn't know that.
Ice, Mother Effin' Cube, turns 38 years old today. And we don't normally do the birthdays of those who are no longer with us. But ladies and gentlemen, a great comic legend would have been 58 years old today. Know what I mean, Vern? Ernest, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Varney. Ernest. How sad that he didn't bank some of those Ernest movies to play after he died. But sadly, there are no more. And that's the K-Rock Showbiz. What's going on, Kevin? Yesterday we had in a girl who wrote a book, and now we got a punk rock guy who wrote a book. Everybody's writing books now. What's happening?
It's our book club. We're going to start a book club.
Jim Lindbergh is on the line. He is, of course, the lead singer of one of K-Rock's all-time most beloved bands called Pennywise. His new book is in stores now called Punk Rock Dad, just in time for Father's Day. Jim, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good, thanks.
It's going great. I imagine there had to come a moment where you thought, my life is so crazy. My nighttime is so different from my daytime. People aren't going to believe it unless I write a book about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I had all this extra time on my hands, so I just thought I might as well throw a book in there.
tell people the story that's in your book about staying up late drinking and then the soccer game the next day.
That happened a few times in the past where we'd go to a Bad Religion show or any show and have a few too many, and then for some reason all these soccer games got scheduled at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I'd be on the sidelines looking a little green and having to cheer on the daughters. But there's nothing worse. I had to umpire softball this year as well, so I had two bleachers full of angry parents mad at me while I wasn't feeling so well.
Oh no.
Jim, how old are your girls?
3, 8, and 10.
3, 8, and 10. Okay, and what have they? I mean, when you're 3, 8, and 10, you're not into your kind of music. What do they like to listen to, and does that cause any kind of conflict in the home or in the car?
Yeah, Yeah, you know, they're kind of into the Kelly Clarkson, American Idol, but they have a pretty good taste in music. They like, I was playing The Clash for them, and they liked Spanish Bombs and Lost in the Supermarket, and I play the Ramones and Blondie and stuff like that. So I'm not turning them on to the, you know, UK subs or GBH yet.
Right. Hardcore, but I do like, Jim, that you say, when I'm driving, it's the Sex Pistols or something I want to listen to.
Yeah, I kind of have to take over the car stereo, otherwise I get Disney Channel blaring at full volume the whole time.
Sure. Now, how long have you been a musician? How long have you been playing in bands?
Gosh, since about 85, and in Pennywise since about 89.
Okay, great. So when you're in your first couple of punk rock bands, and it's the late 80s and stuff, and you don't ever think down the road, hey, I love this music, and I'm going to always love this music for life, but how weird is it going to be when I end up getting married and settling down and I start raising a family? You don't really foresee this in your future. It just kind of creeps up on you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially with Pennywise, because I had graduated from UCLA. I had a degree. I had the cubicle and the company car, and we just got lucky and got signed by Epitaph, and it was like 15 years later, here I am still doing it. So it was really unexpected, you know, and about as unexpected as having a wife and three kids was at that time. So,
tell people how out of place you felt when you met the other parents at school.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of strange just because there's a lot of stockbrokers and lawyers and regular working dads out there, and I obviously have a pretty atypical job, you know, hanging around with guys like Fletcher and the guys in our band, and, you know, you guys are telling stories about Fletcher throwing up on people on the radio, and I go to school dropping off the kids, and like, yeah, we heard you on the radio this morning.
Remember when Fletcher threw up on Dr. Drew, and then...
Yes, of course.
And then he threatened to blow up the studio, I think, and take them all to poo-poo town or something like that?
And then I walk in with my daughter in the class, and they're like ready to call the SWAT team, and I'm just like, yeah, that's my guitar player. He's crazy.
That's awesome.
Do you ever have any trouble, since so many people at the schools that your daughters attend, they know who you are, do you ever have any trouble with just, you know, some of those people being just rabid fans and bugging you all the time?
Oh, I'll tell you, this is a perfect example. This morning, my wife dropped off the kids, and they had what's called crazy hair day today. And I guess there's a fourth grader who had shaved the Pennywise logo into the back of their head.
Uh-oh.
Oh, how about that?
Surreal for my kids. Like, why do you have my dad's band's logo on the back of your head?
I like that your kids don't do that, but somebody else does.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's kind of weird for them. But then again, we live in L.A., so there's plenty of weird parents out there. They're not the only ones.
One of the other funny stories that Jim tells in the book is about the parents asking, what do you do, what do you do, what do you do? And when they find out what he does, if they don't know Pennywise, they just take for granted that since they haven't heard it, he's a loser musician. He's in the garage, you know, and his wife is making all the money, and they don't know anything about it. A lot of the people that he ends up telling what he does, they go, oh, yeah, Pennywise, don't know that.
Yeah. Well, they all, you know, we all think everyone listens to Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff like that.
Right.
And Black Flag, because we grew up around here.
Right.
And, in fact, there's a lot more deadheads than you really realize in the parenting world. A lot of people followed the dead around the country and now have kids. So I don't know what's scarier. There probably should be a Deadhead Dad book out there.
I was one of the things I really enjoyed about the book, and again, if you're just joining us, Jim Lindbergh is on the line. He is, of course, the lead singer for the band Pennywise. Seeing the schedule that you keep. Every parent knows, especially with three as young as you that all have interests, you know, the ballet and the sports and everything like that, and then trying to juggle it with rehearsal, and you oftentimes are out of town. I mean, there are times when you're jetting here or there or driving here or there to do shows, and you keep some really brutal hours. There must be times where you just want those kids to just shut up.
Yes. I think you get used to being in a punk band. There's always a lot of noise, and we're on a tour bus, and there's always a lot of mayhem. And, you know, both atmospheres are a complete circus. And I'm really not sure which scene is more immature, either with my kids or with the band on the bus. But, you know, you kind of get used to that noise level. But definitely this Father's Day on Sunday, it's going to be all about me being in the backyard in a lawn chair, being brought food and cocktails.
In absolute silence.
And silence. And now just leave me alone. This is my day.
Do not speak. Bring me a beer and walk back inside the house.
Yes. That's why I have kids. That's the secret.
How long till you strap on a guitar or buy a drum set for one of the girls, Jim?
I've already gotten the 8-year-old the guitar, and they formed a little band called Mini Wise.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the one wants, you know, I had the big London Calling album cover up on the wall, and she wants to know how to smash the guitar before she knows how to play it.
Excellent. That's a good gut instinct right there.
Yeah.
Is Mini Wise going to be playing the Warped Tour?
Is Mini Wise playing the Warped Tour?
Yes, that's my question.
I think there's only 600 bands on it this year, so we could probably fit them in somewhere.
You probably have room.
Yeah.
They may need some more practice. By the way, Warped Tour, of course, Pennywise is on the bill. Bad Religion, Your Old Friends, Coheed and Cambria, Tiger Army, Newfound Glory, The Used, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, The Vandals, Yellow Card. It's an amazing lineup, and it is coming to town on Friday the 29th of June at the Fairplex in Pomona, Saturday, June 30th at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. And, that's a hell of a show right there. And the book is in stores now, too. It is called Punk Rock Dad, No Rules, Just Real Life, just released last month. Hey, Jim, before we let you go, we have to ask, because since the last time we talked to you, somehow the Stanley Cup ended up in Southern California, and the Anaheim Ducks won.
Yeah.
How did it happen that Pennywise became the band of the Ducks when Broham is played every time they score a goal? I've never heard the story of how those two got put together.
I think it was just kind of one of those things where probably one guy in the stadium or in the arena just started singing it, and then the guy next to him started doing it, and then the next thing you know, the whole arena was doing it. And then after that, we're playing the Stanley Cup Victory Parade at the Honda Center last week, and just absolutely had the best time ever. My kids got to meet all the players, Jaguar and Solani, and we actually got to take pictures with the cup, and it was beyond belief. It was
That's awesome. So when you guys found out about it, I mean, were you already a hockey fan?
Yeah, you know, my dad took me a lot of Kings games as a kid, so I was a big fan. I was back in the Marcel Dion and, Robitaille years.
Right.
So, it was great just to be a part of it. I mean, hockey's really fun to watch, and they brought us all out there, and Fletcher really got into it and was checking it out, you know, because there was fighting and stuff like that.
Of course. Hey, there's fighting. I'm in.
That's right. I know that this makes us geeks, man, but anytime you can get your picture taken with the cup, that's a special photo you hang on to for your whole life, don't you?
Oh, man, it was amazing. It was kind of random how it happened. We asked the guy, the ambassador of the cup, where it was, and he goes, right out there on the ice. It was an empty arena, and there was the cup just sitting center ice by itself.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, we felt really lame and gay with how excited we were with this. They brought the cup into the studio, I don't know, three or four years ago or something like that. And we were just like, why do we love this so much? What's wrong with us?
We had to have our pictures taken. It was awesome.
I just felt so lame.
All right. Well, listen, pennywisdom.com is the website for all the information about the Warped Tour. And again, Jim's book is available everywhere now, called Punk Rock Dad, No Rules, Just Real Life. It is a very funny read. If you're either a parent or a fan of rock and roll music, there's something in this book for you. Jim, you did a nice job with it, man. We appreciate you coming on K-Rock with us.
Hey, thank you. One more thing. Yeah. I'm doing a book signing, Borders, El Segundo, on Saturday, 2 p.m., if anyone wants a signed book.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Jim. We appreciate it.
Every day at the end of the show, we invite your phone calls for something we call Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew. You pick up the phone toll-free and call us at 1-800-520-1067. We're doing that again today. And then right after that, something very special that I can't believe is actually going to happen in the K-Rock studio. You know that song that we end every week's shows with called Don't Bogart Me, that we play by the great Robert Bradley and the Blackwater Surprise? Well, he's here in our studio, and he's going to be performing that live for us in about 15 minutes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Robert and Matt from the Blackwater Surprise. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. It was a real surprise to us when we got an email kind of out of the blue last week from someone who works, I guess, with your label or management or something, and said, hey, the guys are going to be in L.A. working on a new record. Mind if they stop by? And we said, hell yeah.
We're glad to, come on over because, you know, like I said, that song is very dear to me because, you know what I mean, because back in the 90s when I was hanging out with Kid Rock and everything, me and him was hanging out like about 93 or 94. And I went over to his house and, you know, how white guys had the best weed, you know what I mean? So,
I didn't know that.
I could smell it, you know what I mean? And I said, hey, man, don't boogie out your joint. He said, oh, man, you know that's a song, man. Won't you record that? You know what I mean? And it was a good thing, you know, and we had a good time with it, you know what I mean? And that was when me and him, you know, we got together and Matthew and everything. We worked on my first video together,
right?
You know what I mean. Which I never seen yet. I haven't saw it yet.
Straight,
you know? I mean, I wish somebody would describe it to me, but no, we had a good time doing that, and that's how that song came to be. And then about I think it was like 1998, they had some big hippolation or something.
Right.
Party up in New York at the Wetland. They said, hey, Robert, you do this song, you can come up and test out the best marijuana in America.
There you go. Fantastic.
At the Wetlands, so, and I went up there, and then, I swear, and then that song been in my heart ever since.
I've never heard that story before, that it was Kid Rock who introduced you to that song. Now, the song has its roots going all the way back to the 60s, right? It has been around for decades.
Oh, song. Yeah, but like I said, you know, I mean, you know, after I left for Alabama, you know, I quit listening to country music. I went to rock and R&B, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, when I got up there, I had never heard it before.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
He just told me, he said, yeah, man, that's a song. He said, you should record it. You know what I mean? And then 6 years later, that happened. You know what I mean?
And now, for folks who don't recognize the name, Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, you guys have been around a long time, more than 10 years now. You got, what, 5 or 6 albums out there under your belt? And you guys are road dogs. You're out there all the time playing, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was out there for a long time. And what happened was, I decided to get married again, and I had some little kids, and I got tired of the road, and so I went to the state, and I got a job working for the state, and then what happened was I said, oh, man, I feel like I'm 25 because I had these little kids, and I was playing with them, and I got this job, and I had to lift it. I said, oh, I can do this. So I lifted up 3 cases of pop at one time.
Right.
Caught a hernia. Caught a hernia, had to have operation and everything. No. Then I said, the hell with this lifting pops. I'm going back to singing.
Robert's 57.
So I needed, I said, man, forget this job. I'm going back to singing. So I met Bruce Robert at Cherokee Studios and his production, and a friend of mine, he helped on the Lackawanna Blues stuff. And,
uh-huh, sure.
So therefore, you know, we got a record there with Quarter to 3 going to be coming out soon. We just been out here, and then somebody told
Michael told us
that y'all was playing this song, and I said, what?
I got to tell you, we talked about this earlier this morning because I was asking Bean, how did we start playing this song at the end of our shows on Friday? And neither of us could even remember. I know it came from Bean. He was a fan, and he brought it in, and he wanted to play it. But
it's been years, though. Years. I mean, 7-8 years we've been playing it.
Seven, eight years, since the beginning and the end of every Friday show. And we get people, we go do remotes and stuff. People sing along with it. It's just crazy. We can't even remember huge. How it began.
Well, but I just want to know which one of y'all was Bogart in the joint.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you this, Matt. Is it true, the story that I hear, that Robert was playing on the street, like as a busker or something like that, and maybe you and some of the other guys in the band found out about him and kind of hooked up with him that way? What's the real story of how you guys got together with him?
Oh, man, we was hanging out in Detroit recording in the White Room Studios, and Robert just be out on the street singing and playing on his guitar, and he always found the best spots in Detroit where his voice would reverberate.
Right.
So no matter where you are, you could hear him. You know, he didn't need no microphone, nothing like that. And one day we were trying to record, we had to shut the window because he was singing so loud. Then finally we said, man, we got to go down and check this guy out. We got to do something with him.
We either got to involve him in this or move studios.
Either hire him or get him to shut up.
Oh, man, we never want him to shut up. No, he's a beautiful man, and I'm very happy and feel blessed to be with Rob all these years.
Well, it's very cool, and we play it a lot, but our audience not super familiar with you, and we get emails all the time. Who is that? Where did that song come from? What is it? And we always try to point him to you, Robert. And we're going to take a break and come back and take some phone calls, but then you guys are going to play that song for us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, like I say, you know, I probably got need to go outside in the parking lot and have a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
And then to get in it, you know, we always say, beam me up, Mr. Scotty.
Beam it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You can go out and do that and get inspired. And we're going to take some phone calls, and we'll have you guys back in. All right?
Thank you.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Just like to say ahead of time, we're not going to have much patience for lame calls today because the great Robert Bradley is standing by to sing Dope Boat Barbie live on the show. So your call is going to have to be great. But if it's great, you get paid off handsomely. Your choice of a Nerve Classic men's cruiser bike or a Nerve ladies cruiser bike. These are
Fantastic Writing Machines. It's N-I-R-V-E. N-I-R-V-E. Nerve.com to check out all the bikes. That's what you win on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right. Let's begin with Mark in Sherman Oaks, because I'm most fascinated by his call. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do, Mark?
What it is, we were talking about The Secret a few weeks ago.
The Secret?
Yeah, and you guys were thinking it was a bit of BS.
It is a bit of BS, Mark.
It's a big bit of BS.
It's a huge, gigantic pile of BS, Mark.
No, well, here's the thing. I'm here as proof that what you were saying was wrong, and it's actually true, because there's a part of that video where a guy wishes for a bike, and he gets a bike. I was wishing for a bike so much that I phoned you guys.
See what you did, and then it made the dream come true.
How about that? Well, I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that. The Secret, by the way, still number one.
This is the great secret of life.
This is the great secret. The secret. The secret.
The secret.
The secret.
The secret.
What?
Isn't the secret... If I had the secret, I wouldn't whisper it so people couldn't hear it. I know that.
Somebody speak up and give us some information.
You know this secret.
Yes.
Gives you everything you want.
Right.
Happiness, mm-hmm. health, and wealth.
Right, sure.
And a bike.
Fabulous.
You can have, do, or be anything.
See, Mark
you
wanted
want.
A bike.
What kind of a
bike?
House do you want to live in?
Do you want to be a millionaire?
What kind of a business do you want to have?
Do you want more success?
The secret is the law of attraction. Everything that's coming into all your right. life, you all are right. attracting into your life.
All right, so if that's you just think enough. It, you'll and get it. That's what they're saying.
Mark needs to dream bigger. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, they also go on to say that if you don't want to be fat, don't look at fat people.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And food only makes you fat because you think it will. That's what they
that's
say.
That's great. Hey, let's talk to Mr. Joey in West Covina. Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, ahead of Robert Bradley from the Blackwater Surprise, singing Don't Bogart Me live in our studio. Joey, you're on the Kevin and Bean Chunky Rock. What It Do Nephew?
What It Do Nephew? Well, what It Do Nephew? What It Do Baby Do?
Hey, Joey.
What's going on, Joey?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to agree with Dave, the King of Mexico, that even the most smoking hot girl with a tattoo is just, oh, it's just horrible. Yeah. It's just like, they're like, human coloring books, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not cool.
And we understand the words you're saying, if that's what you mean.
Joey, do you feel that way about guys? Do you think guys cannot look good if they have a tattoo too, or is it just women?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just girls, like, because my ex-girlfriend used to talk about getting a tattoo all the time, right? And I was just like, she has the most beautiful skin, you know, and it's just like, oh, you just... Don't ruin it.
Look, there's a huge difference between I'm not attracted to a girl with tattoos, and it doesn't matter how super hot she is, tattoos make her ugly. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
No, but it's true, though. It's like,
but it's not true, though, is the thing.
And it could be just a little, maybe she has beautiful skin, so 5 inches of her skin is now tattooed. That makes everything awful?
Yes,
because
Joey. She's ruining her body.
Do you have a tattoo?
No.
I could have sworn the answer would be yes.
Yeah, I know. You sound like it.
Yeah.
Hey, Joey, what about somebody like Angelina Jolie, for instance? Not attractive to you because she has tattoos?
Not attractive at all, even with tattoos.
You mean without?
I mean without. I'm sorry.
Okay, so now you're just wrong on every level.
Yeah. All right. You're just wrong. Thanks for calling.
At least we've established the baseline of how wrong he is, so we know whether to take him seriously or not.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Michael in Cyprus, too. I didn't see this show, but Psycho Mike has been talking about it all week. Some sort of an award show, I guess, they had over on Spike TV.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, Michael?
Yeah, you guys check out the Spike show, Ms. Choice Awards. I had a bunch of hotties in it. ZZ Top performed, and Carmen Electra did a little striptease with, like, six other hotties. It was pretty good.
Well, all right, then.
I've never seen a show like this in my life, award show or not. It was the most gratuitous... in your face onslaught of hot chicks I've ever seen. It was chock full of beaver.
Are they replaying it?
Playing Inland Invasion, chock full of beaver. Yeah, we know.
I'm sure like most award shows, they'll play it ad nauseum because it is Spike. But I mean, they really, really went above and beyond the call of duty when it came to the poon.
It's called Spike TV's Guys' Choice Awards. If you want to try and find that.
Absolutely, right. I want to check that out. Sure.
Let's see. Let's go to Tommy in Irvine. Good morning, Tommy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what it do, y'all?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Okay, so the new Paul McCartney song, the only thing worse than that is seeing it in primetime in a brand new Apple ad.
Paul McCartney song is
using
an Apple?
That.
Yes, they are.
This song?
Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
How is that possible? The Apple commercials are so famous for using really great new songs, the Fratellis, the Arctic Monkeys, and stuff like that. Why are they using this one?
I have no idea. All I know is that it was posted this morning by them, and it's just got Paul McCartney strolling down a cartoon street with his mandolin. So,
guys, I just figured it out. They just last week started posting Paul McCartney catalog at iTunes. That's why they're doing this, because now they can sell his stuff, and that was probably part of the arrangement, is put me in an Apple ad so people don't remember that I'm 65 freaking years old. That's exactly what it is.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Listen, Robert Johnson is back. Robert Bradley.
Or Robert Bradley. If Robert Johnson were back, that would be news, by the way.
That would be amazing,
he's
right?
He's been gone a long time. Well, listen, while he gets set up, let me thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including actor Seth Green. He, of course, is the genius behind Robot Chicken Star Wars, which is going to be this Sunday night at 10 on the Cartoon Network. Thanks to Jim Libber for joining us, too. He is the singer for the band Pennywise. His book is called Punk Rock Dad, No Rules, Just Real Life, in stores now. And, of course, Pennywise is playing on the Warped Tour this year at the end of June. Get details at pennywisdom.com. Thanks to Russ Leatherman and Mr. Movie Phone for filling in for Ralph on the Movie Beat today. We appreciate that. And thanks to the guys from Red Bull, Will Tidman, project manager of Red Bull Illum, which is a fantastic art project. If you love sports photography from action sports, you want to see this down on the beach at downtown Huntington Beach. They close it down on Sunday night. It looks amazing, so you ought to check that out.
Monday morning, Manny from the finale of Ultimate Fighter 3 is on the show. We got John Cusack on the show. We have Harvey Levin talking about Paris Hilton. And we have K-Rock's Road Trip USA stop number 3. Okay.
Robert Bradley, Blackwater Surprise, in the studio with us. It was, for folks who weren't listening a few minutes ago, it was a completely unexpected out-of-the-blue treat. We got a call from somebody from his camp that said, hey, he's in town working on a new record. How about if he stops by and does your Friday song live? And that's what we're proud to present for you right now. Mr. Bradley, it's all yours, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. We're going to do this song that I hope I remember.
Go ahead.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This seems about to quit, and I need another hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Roll another one. I like smoking reefer in the rain. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Just pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it around. Right here on K-Rock. Oh, just pass it around. Give Kevin and me to listen a little bit. That's Kevin Blodgett doing, my friend. And I'll pass it on down.
Yay! Well, what did you have, Kim?
Come on!
Come on. How about that?
Awesome.
What a treat.
What a treat.
Thank you, man. Y'all beautiful.
You can check out lots of great music from Mr. Bradley at robertbradleymusic.com. A real pleasure to meet you, sir. Thank you so much for coming in. And thanks to everybody for listening to the show. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
There now. Ain't you glad you stayed?
This is not the way that we wanted this conversation to go, so I want to ask you to leave. Step out, please. We're done. We're finished. Do I need to have somebody come physically remove you? Stand up and leave, please. Thank you.
I really don't want to talk about it. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to comment on what happened. It sucked.
See you guys. Seacrest, out. Goodbye.